जयं शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नीला प्रविष्ट विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदगोड़ी वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकूर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्तवृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namami Shrupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धरभवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्स्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम। जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयों यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषां धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्जितगैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणं सतां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरसद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायां विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैभायनो विरहकाधरमज्जुहवां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेन् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदाधृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भधां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമദ്ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശയാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Last Sunday we had discussed this verse, one of the what is known as the sadhana shlokam in this ninth chapter. It's called sadhana shlokam. Mainly that verse talks about the sadhana of a person who is committed to spiritual life, totally committed to spiritual life. That's why it's called satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nitya yuktam upasate. Krishna is saying that it's not for ordinary people, that verse which we spoke about last Sunday also. It's meant for those who are completely dedicated to spiritual life. Satatam kirtayam, satatam, always. It is for them, not for the casual visitor to the temple. That's not covered here. Sadadam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayukta upasade. How fixed up that person in spiritual life, that's what that verse is showing. Completely absorbed in Krishna or in the soul, fully realizing that nothing else exists in this creation outside Krishna. Krishna is the everything. So we have seen that, and also we have discussed that verse. Where will that understanding will lead that person to? That is what is the next verse. After passing through that state, sadadam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada, that verse, if a person has come to that state of realization, from there, where does he goes to? That is the next verse, which we have seen. Jnana yajnena chapyanye യജന്തേമാം ഉപാസതേ ഏകത്വേന പൃഥക്ത്വേന ബഹുധാ വിശ്വതോ മുഖം. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ഈ സേയ്സ് ജ്ഞാനയജ്ഞം, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദെൻ ഹി ബിഗിൻസ് ഹിസ് ജ്ഞാനയജ്ഞം അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻ? സോ ഹിയർ ലെറ്റ്സ് ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ബോത് ശങ്കരാചാര്യസ് ആൻഡ് രാമാനുജസ് കമൻട്രീസ് ഓൺ ദീസ് വേർഡ്സ്, ഓൺ ദിസ് പെർട്ടിക്കുലർ വേർഡ്സ്. പ്രാക്ടിക്കലി വെൻ യു ലുക്ക് ത്രൂ ദ കമൻട്രി, there is not a big difference between Shankaracharya's commentary and Ramanuja's commentary on this verse. We'll read through that. Jnana yajnena jnanam eva bhagavad vishayam yajnaha tena jnana yajnena yajandaha pujayandaha mam ishwaram cha abhi anye anyam upasanam parityaja upasate tat cha jnanam ekam eva param brahma idi paramartha darshanena yajanda upasate. Acharya Swamiji says there, because knowing Krishna, realizing Krishna itself is a big yajnam, is a big sacrifice, it's a big yajnam. So because it is like that, many people, they absorb in this jnana yajnam. In other words, cultivating a deeper understanding of Krishna. Cultivating a deeper understanding of Krishna. Which means then that they have realized that the only truth in this creation is Krishna, nothing else. So having come to that understanding, they absorb in Krishna to that extent that kejitja pradaktvena aditya chandradi bhedena sa eva bhagavan vishnuhu avasthitaha iti upasade. Some people, they see Krishna's presence in the sun, in the moon and everything and worship them with the understanding that is Krishna. Sun is Krishna, the moon is also Krishna. Kejit, some others, bahudha upasthita sa eva bhagavan sarvadho mukho vishvadho mukho vishvarupa iti tam vishvarupam sarvadho mukham bahudha prahupragarena upasade. And other people, they understand that Krishna is present in this creation in different forms, and knowing that in different forms they approach Krishna, then they also realize it that all other forms, manifestations in this world also is Krishna's presence there. Yadi bahubhi prakarehi upasate katham tvam eva upasate iti ada aha. So there these different worship of Krishna in all these different forms, this is all meant ultimately to reach Krishna. Ultimately it's all going to reach Krishna. How that is possible, to explain that many few verses from now on. But before that, we'll see, one who has realized this, that means that satatam, through the satatam kirtayandomam, he has come to this understanding, there the attention of that person immediately go inwards and start seeing this Krishna we have approached through satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayuktam upasade. Through that words, those who have worshipped Krishna in that way finally started realizing that Krishna whom they are worshipping is the same Antaryami inside. This understanding comes to them. It is at that point it happens. After passing through this state of satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayuktam upasade. We have seen that verse last Sunday. So having gone through that experience, the next stage that comes to them is that Krishna whom they have been worshipping outside in that particular form, that form is nothing but is non-different from the super soul, Antaryami, who is inside as Kshetrajna, Kshetrajna inside. So here, this is Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam. Ramanujacharya says here, That Bhagavan, his commentary, Bhagavan Vasudeva eva namarupa vibhagan arhadi sushma chid ajit vastu shariraha san satyasangalpo vividha vibhakta namarupa stula chid ajit vastu sharirasyam idi sangalpya sa ega eva deva tiryan manushya stavaragya vijitra jagal shariro avatishtade iti anusandhanamscha mam upasate. Now if you read this commentary from Ramanujacharya and the previous commentary from Shankaracharya, in essence it is one and the same thing. Practically there is no difference there. So Ramanujacharya also says there that jnanis are worshipping, they relate with Krishna in the same way. What is that? That satyasangalpo vibhakta namarupa stulam, that chit ajit, chit and ajit, from chit, chit is chit shakti, ajit is what is not chit, which has come from the chit, like the mind, intelligence, ego and different forms, namarupam, all of them. And what else? Deva tiryang manushya stavarakhyaha. That means demigods, human species, and also all the other animals, birds and bees, everything. And savara jangam, that means all the moving and non-moving element, living entities, all of them, vijitra jagal shariram, they were all taken unusual bodies in this world. Krishna has taken like that in several unusual forms. He has taken here, avatishtade idi anusandhanamscha mam upasate. He is present here in all these different forms, says Ramanujacharya here. So the same Krishna, one person, Bhagavan, Supreme Personality Krishna, he in this creation, he is there, that Chit Ajit Vastu. Chit Ajit Vastu. That means he is Chit Shakti as well as the Ajit Vastu. And as the body, or he could have said, why not completely as the Chaitanyam or the living force or the living force. So for sadhakas, for who are engaged in the cultivation of this knowledge, for them it is one and the same thing. In other words, that as human being, as animals, the female and the male forms, all of them, it is same Krishna who is present in everything, in everything. And that Krishna in different forms is in front of us. That is why it says here avatishtade. Avatishtade means in different forms he is present in front of us. Then iti anusandhanaha. So they continue that understanding. After executing the sadhana, as mentioned in that verse of 15, satatam kirtayam domam, a person started seeing that that form they are worshipping, Krishna, is the same person who is inside us, inside all of us as Andaryami, as the as Kshetrajna or Andaryami inside. After coming to that realization, they started seeing that all these forms, after that this happens, what's that? All other forms also is nothing but the same Krishna who is inside as Andaryami. It happens to them. And then they say here that iti anusandhanaha. They keep that process going on like that. Mam upasate. Mam upasate. They worship me in that form. This is the commentary by Ramanujacharya on the Jnanayajnam. On the Jnanayajnam. So, generally they have the impression that when we talk about the presence of Krishna inside as Andaryami inside, that many instances people say that Ramanujacharya has established many famous and very big temples, Vishnu temples, in the whole over. And so people start thinking Ramanuja's process is all worshipping in the temples. But if you look into the Siddhantam, there is not a big difference between Vishishtadvaitam and Advaitam there. Very, very subtle differences, extremely subtle level, there is some differences, that's all. You have to remember here, any Siddhantam, whether it is Dvaitam, Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, or doesn't matter what Siddhantam it is all the work of the false ego inside, work of the false inside. So one person may not agree with the other. And only when you have a disagreement with another person, only then the personality will get satisfied. That is the game the ahankaram is playing inside. Ahankaram has got that nature, isn't it? If you disagree with someone, only then the personality feels some satisfaction at that point. So, Bhagavan Vasudevaha, Vasudeva alone, he says that many, many names and forms, Namarupam it has taken, and Chit and Achit also it is him. That means, Chit and Achit means Chaitanyam and Jadam. Chaitanyam means living force, Jadam means matter. Jadam means matter. So whatever we experience in this world as living force and dead matter, all that is Vasudeva. All that is Vasudeva. And inside this realization, it is the same Andaryami who is present in every living force, every living being in this world. So when you see Krishna outside and seeing that form and worshipping him, that is that prithaktvena bahudha. If you see that in that verse, Krishna says that egatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvatho mukham. That prithaktvena means that Krishna who is inside everyone's heart as Andaryami, worshipping Andaryami as one is egatvena. Andaryami is the same Andaryami in everyone. Andaryami is one who is present in different forms, different bodies, isn't it? Worshipping him in that way is egatvena. But seeing that Andaryami is present in all the living entities and you start worshipping different forms, that is prithaktvena. That is prithaktvena. So, egatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. Bahudha vishvato mukham. Comparatively, a similar statement comes in the Upanishads also. Vishvato chakshuho, ida vishvato mukho, vishvato hastaha, uta vishvato pad. So, since the, Krishna is saying, since the entire universe forms the forms Krishna's body. Entire universe is Krishna's body. According to Ramanujacharya's philosophy, it is not contradiction to say that the Lord has feet everywhere. Krishna has presence everywhere. That you will see here. In other words, same supreme truth, absolute truth, Krishna, He is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami. He is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami. If you look at it that way, through every face, who is coming out? That Krishna is coming out. That means in all living entities, when we see them, that the presence of Krishna is manifesting through them, that is known as the universal form. We have some misunderstanding about universal form. Universal form, generally we think that Krishna is standing there with hundreds and thousands of faces, like we saw in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So we start thinking universal, that is universal form. That is not the only universal form. Universal form actually is like this, that when through realization, after realizing the self, self-realization, Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami, if that Antaryami's presence in all the other living entities, when we look at every person, through that person Krishna's presence is experienced in him, that means throughout the creation only Krishna exists. That experience is the universal form. That experience is the universal form. So, not by simply seeing Krishna in a big form, it becomes universal form. Universal form has to be understood that way. If you see, generally in the Bhagavad Gita, when you read Bhagavad Gita, that's what you will think, isn't it? Arjuna saw the universal form. Krishna showed it to Arjuna. Krishna showed universal form to Dhritarashtra also. Krishna showed universal form to Mahabali. Krishna showed universal form to Yashoda Devi. So many people had darshan of universal form. It's not only Arjuna had seen universal form. But what is the difference here? The difference, what Krishna is saying here is, Jnana yajnena chapyane yajandemam upasate ekatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishyato mukham, he says. Bahutha vishyato mukham means that the person has realized Krishna inside as Antaryami. Inside as Antaryami. That Antaryami's presence in other all other living entities, and when that realized person is looking at another living entity, he is observing Krishna's presence inside that person and in everyone in the same way. When that happens, Krishna is present in everywhere universally. That is the universal form Krishna is talking about in this verse. Egatvena prithatvena bahutha vishyato mukham. That Krishna's that face who is present through all through other living entities. All other living entities. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, the same thing Krishna mentions later. Sarvada panipadandal sarvadoksha shiromukham. If you look into the 13th chapter, you will see there. Is this universal form? Universal form, we shouldn't go by pictures and all that. If you start looking at the picture and saying, this is all Krishna's universal form, that will be a great mistake. That is not how you understand universal form. That is in one instance to Arjuna to convince who Krishna is, Krishna has shown that form to him, which we call as universal form. But quite often we think that's the only universal form. No, it's not. Krishna's universal forms are very variegated. To Yashoda, he showed one kind of universal form. To Dhritarashtra, he showed in another way. To Mahabali, he showed in a different way. That is all universal form. In different ways, different forms he showed it to them, but that is all universal form. But in this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Jnana yajnena chapyane yajandemam upasade. They worship me. How? Egatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham. They come to this realization when, after realizing Krishna is the self inside as Antaryami, later on it is the next step after that. Prior to this, what is that? Satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada namasyandascha mam bhaktya nityayukto upasade. They go through that verse. After going through that, what will happen to that person? Immediately he will move on to this situation. Jnana yajnena chapyane yajandemam upasade egatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. First he realizes the self inside as Antaryami, and that Antaryami he starts seeing elsewhere in all other living entities. all other living entities. And that is another universal form of Krishna. Universal form of Krishna. If you look into the 13th chapter, you will see Krishna mentioning that the same thing again in the 14th verse. Sarvada pani padam thal sarvadokshi shiro mukham sarvada shudimal loge sarvam avritya tishtadi. That's what it is. Sarvada pani padam thal sarvadokshi shiro mukham sarvada shudimal loge sarvam avritya tishtadi. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes and faces, and he hears everything. In this way, the super soul exists. You see? So, you can see straight from this verse, egatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. That verse is giving you this realization. What Krishna says here. Sarvada pani badandal sarvadokshi shiro mukham sarvada shrimal loge sarvam avritya tishtadi. Except Krishna, nothing else exists there in that situation. That is what is mentioned there. So, by now, the person who is executing spiritual life, he has come to this stage. Everything is Krishna. Presence in everything, everywhere. There is only Krishna exists. Everything, Krishna exists. And that existence, everywhere else Krishna exists, that is non-different from Krishna's presence inside me. Advayam. Advayam. Non-dual. Non-dualities. That is what the non-dual. Remember, in the Bhagavadam, in the beginning, it says there, isn't it? That tattvam yajnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam. That is what that is. This is that advaya jnanam. Advaya jnanam means this. That brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavaniti shabdyade. Isn't it? Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam. That advaya jnanam is this. That Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, finally everything is Krishna. It's Atma who is present in everyone. So that Atma Swarupam, our own, this is self-realization means. Self-realization is not anything, we misunderstand about self-realization in very, very different ways, isn't it? We imagine sometimes, what will it be like when we realize the self? Sometimes people think about it, is it not? They think, what will happen to me if I realize the self? how that change is happening, that is what Krishna has explained in these verses. Through that process of Rajavidya, what Krishna has discussed in this chapter, Rajavidya is referring to this king of knowledge when Krishna calls it. Is this that the realization, how it grows in a person, the after effect of that realization in the person in relationship with the world. That's what is spoken here. That through sadaram kirtayandomam yatandascha dradavrada namasyandaschamam bhaktya nityayukto upasade. By now the person is completely surrendered and completely committed to self-realization. And he is following this not from the ego platform. He has come to the state of total surrender and complete absorption in Krishna. He has become that practically. He has become that. And when that happens, what will happen to that person? Jnana yena chapeni yajandema upasate. He will see that everything, ultimately what he has been paying obeisances all this lifetime, whose holy name he has been chanting all along, and to whom he has surrendered completely, that truth is not different from the Antaryami inside. He come to that understanding. That is the first step in the self-realization. We keep on chanting and engage in all spiritual activities. Finally, what will happen is that when that becomes very intense and comes to that stage, that namasyandaschamam bhaktya nityayukta, which we have seen that verse before, when that verse becomes our life, or in other words, when that state comes to us, satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrada, namasyandaschamam bhaktya nityayukta upasade, which we have seen in the last class. When that situation happens, very soon from that state, the next thing what will happen to him is, all these years to whom one has been paying obeisances, whose holy name he has been chanting, and to whom he has been worshipping as the deity, all that he will start seeing is that same person who is inside him as Antaryami. This is the realization. That is how that realization comes. It is not that rest whole life you worship the deity in the temple and thinking that this is Krishna, this is Krishna. That is in one stage. But sooner or later, that stage will change. Everyone who is progressing in the spiritual path. At a particular stage, Krishna is saying that form you have worshipped, the name you have chanted, and the surrender you have made to that particular form in the temple or elsewhere, wherever that is, finally, when it becomes very in a realized state, it will happen that that form outside and Antaryami inside is non-different. That will happen. When that happens, then the next stage is Krishna is explaining that. Jnana yajnana chapene yajande maam upasade. Whenever Krishna says maam, 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 you have to always take it as the Antaryami inside. That is where Krishna is talking from that state. Maam upasade. And how they do that? Egatvena prathaktvena. Some people will worship me in one form, some people will worship in different forms, some others worship in different forms. But what will happen at that stage is egatvena prathaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham. Krishna's different faces he will start experiencing then. Bahudha Vishwadomukham. Bahudha Vishwadomukham means he will start seeing that every other form in this creation is nothing but Krishna who is present inside them. Inside. That is said Bahudha Vishwadomukham. This is another universal form of Krishna. This is another universal form of Krishna. So this in the Vedanta when it comes to it is spoken. That Advayam. Advayam means no duality goes away from inside. Dvandvam goes away from inside. So what is normally happens in the beginning in spiritual life is for all of us, what exists is I exist, you exist, he exists. Isn't it? I am, exist, he exists, and I am existing, you are existing, and he is existing. He or she is existing. So, in Shastram, what they call it as Aham, Tvam and Saha. Three things. Aham, Tvam and Saha. Saha means everybody else. Aham means I am. Tvam means yourself. So, me, you and they. All others. Isn't it? So, all three of this, Aham, Tvam, Saha, all three of them, to happen, first, Aham has to be there. Only if I am there, you will be there. Only then after that they will come. But first I have to be there, isn't it? I have to be there. So when we, this inquiry continues, and when you find out ultimately that Aham itself is not the true thing. It's a false thing, Aham. Why? Because Aham is false ego actually dictating. It is when the false ego is born, Aham is born, you are born, and they are born, when the false ego is born. So when you realize, after self-realization, what happens? Aham goes away. There is no jiva anymore. Aham has disappeared. When Aham has disappeared, then what exists? Then only Krishna exists in everyone. At that point, there is no Aham, there is no Tvam, there is no Saha. All three has gone away. So once we find out this root of all these things, these three things will disappear. Aham, Tvam, Saha, all of them will disappear. When I wake up, when Ahankaram wake up, false ego wakes up inside, then immediately you will see that he exists and they exist. Those thoughts will also come. But once the moment I dissolves, at that time, Tripudi goes away. This is called Tripudi. Tripudi means me, you and they. All three of them. And it will go and purely what is known as this, Bhagavatam calls it as Advaya Jnanam. Advaya Jnanam will come. Advaya Jnanam. That is Krishna. That Advaya Jnanam is Krishna. If you study that verse very carefully in the Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat tattva vidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavaniti shabdyade. Generally people read the translation and think that Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. But that's more than that. That verse is conveying a big thing to us. Why? Because that verse is opening up Bhagavatam to us. That's why it's so important. What verse is saying is, Vadandi Tattuvit. Tattuvit means realized souls. It's their language. It says here, Vadandi Tat Tattuvidam. Tattuvit says the Tattuvam is like this. What is that? നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് തത്വം ഈസ് യജ്ഞാനം അദ്വയം. അദ്വയജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് ദ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദ തത്വം. അദ്വയജ്ഞാനം മീൻസ് നോളേജ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ഫോം. നോർമലി വി സേ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദി ഐ ക്യാൻ ഡ്രോ എ പിക്ചർ ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇൻ വൺ വേ, യു ക്യാൻ ഡ്രോ ദ പിക്ചർ ഓഫ് അനദർ വേ. വി ഐഡൻറ്റിഫൈ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ലെവൽ വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ, ബട്ട് realized soul, they don't see Krishna in that way. They see Krishna as tatvam yajnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is Krishna's form, they say. Krishna, supreme personality, absolute truth, he is advaya jnanam. Knowledge is Krishna. Knowledge is Krishna. Advaya jnanam. And that knowledge, advaya brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabdyade. Jnanis calls them as brahmam. Yogis calls it as Paramatma, devotees calls them as Bhagavan. That is how that iti shabdyade, they address them like that. Iti shabdyade, shabdyade means that's how they address that advaita jnanam. Advaita jnanam is addressed like that. So so after that, here Krishna says here that when that advaita jnanam comes, then immediately the chit shakti shows its potency and it manifests from inside, the chit shakti. So the result was that dvaitam goes away, the duality goes away, and at the same time, even though one may be in a realized state, sometimes it is possible the existence of this creation may be there in him, existence of creation, pravancham may exist, dvaita spurti may be exist. But still, one who has realized the truth, he knows egatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishyato mukham. World will be there. The that chitshakti will say to him, egameva adyudiyam brahma, egameva adyudiyam neha nanasti kinchana. Upanishad statement. That is that state. Egameva ഏകമേവ അദ്വിതീയം നേഹ നാനാസ്തി കിഞ്ചന. ദർ ഇസ് ഓൺലി വൺ, ദർ ഇസ് നോ മെനി, ദർ ഇസ് നോ മെനി, ദർ ഇസ് ഓൺലി വൺ. സോ ഓൾ ദീസ് വേരിഗേറ്റഡ്നെസ്, നാനാത്വം, നാനാത്വം മീൻസ് മെനി മെനി, ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ വിൽ കം ഡൗൺ ടു ദിസ് വൺ ഏകത്വം. സോ യു മേ സേ ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം, ഈവൻ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ദി ക്രിയേഷൻ ഓർ ക്രിയേഷൻ you may know in names, different names and forms, but it is at that time that perception will go and dissolve itself in the heart, dissolve itself in the heart, hrudayam, that hrudsthanam, it will go and dissolve itself, the variegatedness what we are experiencing in our senses, through the senses. So at the heart there is only one, there is no two, and for me, only me exist. Others do not exist separately from me. That is that realization at that point. So, you can see this also. All of us, for me, I exist. For you, you exist. Yourself exist. Isn't it? For everyone, they exist in their awareness. You have to know that difference. What it is we study things, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. We keep it in the mind and the brain. All of us do that, isn't it? We keep it in the mind and the brain. And when a trouble comes in life, you will see that is of no use to us. Why? Because this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, if it is not in the consciousness, it is of no use. It is of no use. Simply studying books and keeping knowledge and in the mind and intelligence is of no use at the end. It is a waste of time. But if a slightest part of it has gone into consciousness, in bodham, in awareness, if it exists, that will be your success in spiritual life. Often this is the problem with all of us. We study books, and with the mind and intelligence, we take everything. But as soon as a problem comes in life, what do? We throw the whole thing back, and in our own conditioned way, we start analyzing the situation. That is not... Actually, Krishna gives us opportunities in life He puts you through several situations to check whether anything what you have studied in Bhagavad Gita or what he has spoken to us, has anything gone in. And the proof whether it has gone in or not is when it comes to situations like that. That's the important thing. That is what I'm saying, that you can see this. Sometimes we are hearing tens, we put them in the CDs, we hear in the cassettes, and all sorts of things we do again and again. And when you keep hearing, you feel a satisfaction also inside. But it stays in the mind and the brain. Mind and the brain. And our main problem is, anything that has gone into consciousness is the only thing that will come to our shelter, to our rescue. If even a drop of it, if it has gone into consciousness, in bodham, in awareness, if it is there, that will save us from the greatest disaster. Otherwise, you may wonder sometimes, in many people's life, there are so many people listening, reading, thinking about Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but because they are in that mental platform or in the platform of intelligence, it has not gone into the right place where it has to go. That means anything that is in the consciousness only will come to our shelter. Nothing else. What is in the mind and brain is not going to come to the shelter. I have repeated this many times before. Because practically the mind will go before your death. The intelligence also will go. So where is the question of the health of the mind and the brain? So what has happened to us all is, like we studied all other subjects, mathematics and physics and chemistry, we study Bhagavad Gita also in the same way. And then we are saying that, oh, we can't understand. It's all a lot of Sanskrit verses and confusion everywhere. And Prabhupada has written so many purports also, people are saying that it's all confusing everything altogether. Best thing is leave it. That is the solution they have found. It does not work like that. It's not nobody's fault it is. Krishna is kept on repeating this one point. Don't keep your mind and brain involved in spiritual life. It's of no use at the end. And unfortunately, that's the most difficult thing for all of us to get rid of. This mind and brain. Because any knowledge which stays in the mind and the brain will not be of any help or any use to us at any stage. You can discuss it with others and use your mind and to show that, oh, I've understood this, you've understood that, all kinds of things you can say. But as far as the real life is concerned, in fact, in order to, when you are put into a situation where you want to experience that relief from that misery or distress, the only thing that will happen is what Krishna, you have taken from Krishna's words, what has gone into the bodham, the consciousness. That's the only thing that will help. What is in the consciousness, that will protect. Nothing else. And that is why throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is stressing on this point. In Ekadasha Skandam also, Krishna repeats this very strongly to Uddhava. To Uddhava he says this. If it has not gone into the consciousness, that knowledge is not of any use to you at the time of death. Because how will it come out is that somebody is hearing for a long time and has absorbed a lot of things in the mind and the brain, but didn't do enough vijaram, thought about this, didn't put it into practice in his own life. Then what will happen is that when a problem comes, you will completely forget what Krishna has spoken and you will apply your normal conditioned way into it. Whatever the world is doing, we will also look in the same way to solve the problem. Whole world will go against us in situations like that. You can't do anything about it. You have to make up that Krishna's words are the knowledge. That is the standard. Krishna talks about many, many things like that in the Bhagavatam about it. When you look to that, you will see there. So here you can see all great devotees and all the realized souls, if you look into their life, you will see this. That they have succeeded in bringing it into their life. That was their success. And we failed. That is the difference. They have succeeded in what Krishna has spoken. They have put it into practice in their life. When they had crisis in life, they stuck to Krishna's words, not to the world. They didn't follow the world. So that is why he says here that when realization happens in the heart, there is only one, there is no two. So you can see this also for you. In consciousness only you are existing. Others don't exist. Isn't it? the awareness in each one of us. What are we aware of about ourselves? I am only aware of myself. You are only aware of yourself. I am not aware of yourself in my awareness. Isn't it? You know that. That in my awareness, I am only aware of myself. I am existing. Not the awareness of others' awareness is not in me. Of course, when I see them through the eyes or hear their sound or touch or whatever it be, through the senses I may perceive them. But strictly speaking, in Jagrat state, Swapnam state, Waking state, Dream state and the deep sleep, in all these three states, what remains with me is my own awareness, not your awareness. Not about your awareness, your existence. My existence, I am aware of all the time. Not anybody else's. Nobody else's awareness I am aware of all the time. So, that experience is non-dual. That experience is non-dual. Why? In your awareness only you are existing. In my awareness only I am existing. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that nobody experiences duality in his awareness. In their own awareness, nobody experiences any duality. Experience is always non-dual. That's the most important principle. Experience is always non-dual. Duality cannot be there in your own experience. That is why Advaya Jnanam, that verses in the Bhagavadam, Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvam Jnanam Advayam, he says. That Advaya Jnanam is Krishna's form. So, it's always non-dual. Only when you see someone, that duality comes, isn't it? Duality comes, or dvaidam comes. But in awareness, it's always one. But when you see somebody, there are two. When I see many people, there are so many here, isn't it? In that way it goes. But within me, when you are not there, it's only me in my awareness all the time, isn't it? So, such a person, so one who has woken up in his own awareness, who has woken up to that state about his own awareness, that person is, Krishna is saying, egatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham. In other words, he says here that, and prithaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham, although because in his awareness he has woken up, even if he is seeing these many things, he knows underneath that there is only one awareness that he is aware of. See, awareness is only one. But because we are in the present moment, in this state, we only know about my awareness. I am not aware of somebody else's awareness, isn't it? But when self-realization happens, what will be the situation at that time? Exactly like what Sukadeva Goswami said. What did he say? In the first canto itself, when Sukadeva Goswami, Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanatosmi, that stage will come. It has to be like that. Because in our present state, conditioned by the body and all the upadhis in us, we will only identify with my awareness. But a stage will happen when self-realization comes. He will know there is only one awareness. The only difference is that awareness is in everyone at that time. Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munim anatosmi. Sukadeva Sudha Goswami says this too about his spiritual master. Isn't it? So look at that state. But that means, what it means is awareness is always one. In reality, awareness is only one. But today, we are feeling individual, everything bodily based, isn't it? So on a bodily level, you may see all these differences. It is no good we keep on talking about this, and as soon as we leave Bhagavad Gita, oh, that's all different, that's all for the class. Separately, I have my own way of doing things, and I go back to my own bodily identity and start thinking everything in response to the body. That is not a very good thing, because that way, this awareness will never come to us. That is important point Krishna is making here. For example, there are history to prove all these things. It's not just a statement some Krishna has made like that. If you look back into the great person's life, they were all in that state. They were all in this state. Anybody, whether they are jnani or great devotees, they are all in that state all the time. Isn't it? So, in other words, knowing very well that it is Krishna who is present everywhere. Two incidents. One, Namadev. You heard about Maharashtra saint, a famous personality, Namadev. Namadev was in meditation in the forest somewhere. He was sitting there in meditation. His wife found it very difficult to find him because he was always going away from home, and in the forest and in the caves he was in meditation and engaged in chanting the holy name and glorifying Krishna. That was his life. Finally, she was very very fond of him, so she went to the forest looking for him and brought some chapati for him so that he doesn't starve. Out of affection, she brought all that and gave it to him. And when she went there, he was completely absorbed in Krishna. She didn't want to disturb him. So she left the chapatis next to him and she went back. She went back. One dog who was wandering around there saw the chapati and saw that Namdev was in meditation. It's the right time to get it. So he came and had bitten the chapati and was taking it off. And he thought, Krishna has given me this for today to eat. That was the dog's mood. So dogs came and ate it. As soon as the dog came and Namadev woke up from his samadhi state. And Namadev says to him, addressing as Krishna to the dog, he says, "We are very poor people." He says to the dog, "If you eat that chapati as it is, without any sabji or any ghee or anything like that, you will start bleeding," he says to the dog. And then he runs after the dog and holds the dog and pats the dog nicely, takes the chapati out and started giving some ghee or something what she has left there, which the dog hasn't seen. Dog has only seen the chapati. He brings the ghee and puts it on the chapati and says to Krishna, "You eat it now." How did this happen? How can this state happen? And whatever vegetables or whatever she has left there, he puts everything to the dog and says to the dog, "Eat it now." And he addresses the dog as Panduranga, because that was the deity they worshipped in Maharashtra, isn't it? So that does not mean Panduranga is a dog. That's not what it means. Now, generally we have this nature of saying, "Oh, how can Panduranga become a dog?" Panduranga is not dog, but what it is that realization in Namadev, that living force inside that dog is also Krishna, isn't it? How can you ignore that? That is what it is. Egatvena prathaktvena bahutha vishvatomukham. That is realization. So here Namadev didn't say, "I've understood all that, but he is a dog." He didn't treat like that. What did he do? In reality, in real life itself, this is happening to them. This shows that realization has gone into consciousness. It's not in the mind and the brain. Mind and the brain. So long as it's in the mind and the brain, it will simply become a nuisance after some time. Because you are always, it cannot stay like that for a very long period of time. After some time, because it's a conflict inside then. It's a conflict inside. Mind and the brain, ultimately mind and brain will go. It's not going to stay forever, isn't it? So this is what has happened to Namadev's case. It's a famous story. This is about Namadev. Now we look at Eknath Swami. Eknath was another great personality. They were all in the, what they call in Maharashtra, Varkari Sampradayam. They were all great personalities, great devotees, highly realized personalities. And Yaneshwar initiated this movement. Yaneshwar was the original personality. So, Eknath, out of instructions from his spiritual master, Janardana Swami, he went to Benares, and the system them days was, they go to Ganga River, and after bringing water from the Ganga River, they bathe Vishveshwara, the famous temple in Kashi. After bathing that, they will collect the water, and then they will bring it all the way to Rameshwaram, where Lord Shiva was installed by Ramachandra, that famous temple there. So, Eknath Swami went to Benares, collected the water, and those days they had to walk all the way. He was walking to Rameshwaram with the water, and he had other devotees also with him, with Eknath Swami. So, very close to Rameshwaram, when you reach there, you will see it's very much desert-like. There's nothing there. Very desert-like place, actually. Even now, if you go, you will see there. Quite a lot of area is not very green.
the area is very dry and also very sandy, close to the seashore also. So when he got there, while walking through that desert area to the Rameshwaram temple, a donkey was there, was dying for want of water. A donkey was dying for want of water. And he had this water with him, which he has brought all the way from Ganga River, from Benares, all the way to Rameshwaram is taking it. So he had other people with him. Eknath Swami, without thinking for a second, whatever water he had, he poured into the donkey's mouth. Seeing the donkey was really looking for some water in that area. So he poured the water. All others who were with Eknath immediately shouted at him, "What are you doing? This water has been brought for doing Abhishek for Rameshwar in the temple, and you are pouring it into this donkey's mouth," he said. "Because it's a long effort, isn't it? After performing in the Abhishek in Benares, you have to collect the water and then you have to bring it in the pot. And he has brought it so many thousand miles down, and now he is going and pouring it into the donkey's mouth." Eknath Swami told this one, "Egatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishvatomukham." That is realization. You can see what realization means. This is why we have to study the life of these great souls. Because you can see they just didn't study it and keep it in the head. They put it into their life. Therefore, there is no contradiction. It is always, therefore is they say like this, "Egatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishvatomukham." Eknath says, "This is Rameshwar," he says, showing the donkey. He says, "Rameshwar is here. Why do I have to go there? Here is water water is required, not in the temple to pour it on the stone." This is realization. So, in other words, in everything, they see the Antaryami inside. It's not seeing the donkey anymore. It's seeing the Antaryami inside. So, that is the Upasana. The same thing, you will see, there is a yajnam called Vaishwadevam. Vaishwadevam is a yajnam for the Brahmanas. So, it is a ritual they perform. So, and it is just like a symbol to remind us every day. This Vaishwadeva yajnam is like that. Vaishwadeva means a grahastha, householder, is supposed to feed everyone, including Bhagavadam says, even the snake, there is a snake in your house, you should feed that snake before you take food. It is only to bring this understanding into our life that everybody is fed. If you look into the 7th canto of Bhagavadam, you will see there is instructions from Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi instructing this to householders. He is saying to the householders. He says there in the 14th chapter, ninth verse, "Mrigam, Ostram, Karam, Arkham, Khu, Sari, Sripkha, Ghap, Gakha, Machigaha, Alpana, Putravat, Pashyed, Tairesham, Andaram, Kiyat." This is that verse. "Mrigoshtha, Karam, Arkha, Khu, Sari, Sripkha, Gha, Machigaha, Alpana, Putravat, Pashyed, Tairesham, Andaram, Kiyat." In order to bring this understanding to us, in a householder life, it is impossible. Householder doesn't have any time for reflection, isn't it? Householder is busy paying bills all the time. He has no time for anything else. So that he also understands the same principle, Sri Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira in that situation, that because this 14th chapter is all about householder life. So he says there, "Grihastham esham padavim vidhina yena chanjasa yadi devakrishe bruhi madrisho grihamothadhi," he says. "I am a stupid person busy in this householder life. What should I do?" At that time, Narada Maharshi gives these instructions. And in that, he says this. "Mrikha ostra khara markahu sari srup khaha makshigaha alpana putravat pashyel thairesha mandaram kiyat." All these animals mentioned here, the householder should see them as they are his children and he should feed them all. The idea behind that is that he will develop this consciousness of Krishna's presence in them also, not to forget that. And not in a practical level, to keep us informed about it. That's why it's spoken in that way. So in other words, with whomever a householder comes to contact with. A householder comes to contact. Doesn't matter whether it's a man or an animal or whatever it may be, cat or a dog or a crow or a goat or a cow, whatever it may be. In all those living entities, Krishna who is present as Antaryami, that should be taken notice of. That should be taken notice of. Then, and worshipping all of them in this way is called Vaishwadevam. Vaishwadeva Yajnam. Brahmanas are supposed to perform Vaishwadevam. They perform Vaishwadevam in this. This is called Vaishwadevam. Vaishwadevam means presence of Krishna's presence in every living entity. Not to think that it is only present in the human beings. No, in all other living entities. That is Vaishwadeva Yajnam. So, because, how this name comes, Vaishwadeva? Because Krishna is present in everyone as Vaishwanara, isn't it? Vaishwanara. So that Vaishwanara, based on that, that is more important. And you can see this also when you see, of course here it's different, but in situations like when dogs are not taken care. There are places in India, they don't take care of the dogs so much, isn't it? So when dogs are not taken care, sometimes you give some food to the dog. Dog feels very, very happy, isn't it? How the dog responds to it, you may have seen that. It moves its tail in such a happiness when you give and shows. And if you look at the face of the dog, a tremendous satisfaction, happiness comes from that. On the other hand, you invite some so-called brahmanas and give them food. What do? They'll eat the food nicely, and while going, they'll say the feast was no good, they'll say. This also happens. They'll eat it nicely and they'll find all faults with the feast and they'll tell you all that and they'll walk away from there. So who deserves the food? So sometimes it is like that. This happens. These situations happen. So in the same way, if you give it to the dog, you will see that the dog's pleasure, happiness that comes from the dog, that is important. Actually, that happiness is coming from Antaryami. Why? Dog doesn't have a mind like us. Dog doesn't have a mind like us. Any happiness that is coming through that dog's body is the happiness of that Antaryami inside, that you have fed that dog. Same thing you will see from the cats also. In so many living entities, you will observe this thing happen. So, this does not mean that you have to take the dog and keep it and worship them 24 hours. That is also not the meaning of that. What we have to understand is the principle behind it. Principle is this, that any living entity, inside there is Krishna. That is the important thing. Recognition of that is more important than anything else. That is the step towards this realization. Which one? Egatvena prathaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham. All these different instructions are only to bring us to this self-realization process, to help us in this process. So let the dog go through the street if it has to go through. Otherwise if you start taking dog seriously, then it becomes ajnanam. It becomes avidya then. Because because what happens is, whatever I think is good for me, I'll start thinking it's good for the dog also. Actually, it is not like that, isn't it? Have you noticed this? Suppose you're taking the dog outside for a walk and you're just taking out. Another dog is inside the house in a cage. He feels that he has been imprisoned and he barks. And this dog also barks. But actually, dogs also want to be free. They also don't want to be in control in that way. So when you control somebody's freedom, they find it very difficult. So better not to take it to that extent, but still important things to remember is that any living entity, whether it is a crow or a cat or a dog or any other animals, when they are hungry, they should be fed. Because what you are giving the food is not to that form, but to that Antaryami inside, who is present inside that form. And doesn't have to be known to others also. It's not necessary. So, now just because it is like this, the principle is like this, we should not start thinking, now let's form a society now, Antaryami Association, and start beginning an institution in the name of Antaryami. We don't have to do that. It's not expected also. In the world, you can see that a lot of people, they want to, as soon as they get some idea, they want to start an institution straight away, isn't it? These are all only for sadhana's sake, only for the sadhana's sake. But you should not make it as a project. If you start making it as a project, it will end up something else later. You may start a project, but it will end up as something else later. Because, so, Krishna has not given this responsibility to any one of us. But if Krishna gives an opportunity to provide food to somebody, knowing very well that Antaryami inside is having that food, if a sandarbham means an opportunity comes, one should do that. Otherwise, one should not feel too much about that. So, in other words, it should not become an obsession. So, an opportunity comes, one should do that. If doing in that way is this one. Egatvena prathaktvena bahudha vishvatomukha. Because the realization there is that egatvena, that Krishna, Antaryami, prathaktvena, in different forms, he is present there. It is a symbol of recognition of this principle, what Krishna has spoken here. What is that? Egatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishvatomukham. That is what you are doing there. You are giving the food to so many living entities. In all of them, who is present? Krishna is present. As Vaishvanara, he is enjoying that food. So, this is the same what we have discussed in the Bhagavatam before, what we call as Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami Upasana, that is. In the Brihadaranyam, it mentions, Ya Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtan, Ya Sarvani Bhudani Na Viduhu, Andaro Yamati, Ya Sarvebhyo Bhudebhyo, Eshado Atma, Antaryami Amrtaha, Ya Prithivyam Tishtan, Ya Prithivyam Na Veda, Yasya Prithivi Shariram, Ya Prithivim Andaro Yamayati. We have discussed this verse many times before. Krishna is Brihadaranya Upanishad, Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying, Eshado Alma Antaryami Amrtaha. Everyone's inside, the soul is Antaryami. Ya Prithivim Tishtan, Ya Prithivim Na Veda. He is present in the earth also, but earth does not know that. He is present in the earth, but earth does not. Ya Prithivim Na Veda. Yasya Prithivi Shariram. Prithvi means earth, is his body, Prithvim Shariram. Ya Prithvim Andaro Yamayati. He is inside that Prithvi, controlling Mother Earth also. This is Upanishad. Brihadaranyam says this. In other words, in everything, whatever material element we are talking about, earth, water, air, ether, fire, in all of them, who is present? Krishna is present there as Antaryami. In the sun, in the moon, and in all living entities, he is present there in that form. Prithivim Antaro Yamayadi. This is called Antaryami Adhikaranam. It runs into one whole chapter. The same verse keeps on repeating in terms of earth, water, air, ether, fire, sun, moon, all things referring to each time. It's called Antaryami Adhikaranam. It's a very important chapter in the Brihadaranya Upanishad. It says this. To make us aware that what is Antaryami Upasana means. So this Antaryami Upasana, Antaryami, Krishna is present inside every living entity, is the step towards, if you remember, Krishna says, you have to see me everywhere, isn't it? How do you see everywhere? It's not that when you start looking, all other forms have changed, everything has changed to Krishna's form. That's not what it happens. When Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita also, you will remember, Shunijayo Shabageja Pandita Samadarshina. That Samadarshitvam, equal vision, happens at this stage. When Antaryami Upasana becomes perfect, equal vision also will follow from that. So, in all living entities, who is inside there, and one who realizes this in presence in all other living entities, who is present in everyone and control that particular living entity's life in this world. That's what Antaryami does, isn't it? Antaryami, what does Antaryami does in all of us?
And the yami sits inside and he controls our life every moment, isn't it? And that same Antaryami is inside me also, controlling my life here. So, so even if you do anything for another living entity, actually you are doing it to yourself. You are doing it to yourself, because the Antaryami who is showing the pleasure from inside is the same Antaryami who is inside you. So practically, when you are doing something good to another living entity, the understanding is that actually you are doing it for yourself. You are doing it for yourself. So knowing this without any identification or pride, without any obsession, this has to be done. Without any obsession, this has to be done. If you do like that, then that is what is called as Bahudha Jnana Yajnena. Jnana Yajnena. Krishna says there, Jnana Yajnena Chapene Yajandamam Upasade Egatvena Prithaktvena Bahudha Vishodo Mukham. That Bahudha Jnana Yajnam, it is what it is called. At that time, Bahudha Jnana Yajnam. Bahudha Jnana Yajnam. Egatvena. Realizing the self itself is a great yajnam. Realizing the self, egatvena, that itself is a great yajnam. Therefore, those who are in that state, we should not blame them. We should not criticize them. For example, people go to the caves and mountains and everything, isn't it? And they stay there alone and engage in self-realization process through dhyanam, through upasana, various processes, isn't it? And then they realize the truth within themselves first. That itself is a big realization. After that, coming and seeing everyone in this creation also is Krishna's presence in that, is the next stage. Is the next stage. So initially, when they go to the Himalayas and many great places like Rishikesh and Haridwar and so many other places where great jnanis, yogis and devotees also go for self-realization, cultivating in solitude, they do that. So after they realize about the self, Krishna's presence inside, when they come out and see all other living entities, they will see there that is also Krishna's another manifestation. So when that happens, it becomes Bahudha Yajnam. Bahudha Yajnam, Vishwadho Mukham Yajnam, Vaishudeva Yajnam, Egatvena Prathaktvena Bahudha Vishwadho Mukham. That is what that verse is talking about. So therefore, after eating food, among the Brahmanas there is a system also. They chant this mantra. Angushta Matra Purushaha Angushtanja Samastyadaha Isha Sarvasya Jagadaha Prabhu Prenadi Vishwabhuk. This is after the meal. Before the meal, we sing Sharira Vidya Jal, isn't it? That is accepting it as a prasadam. From the Vedic point of view, they generally chant the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Brahmanas generally chant the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita before taking food. After food is over, they chant this mantra. What do they say? Angushta Matra Purushaha Angushtanja Samastidaha Isha Sarvasya Jadaha Jagadaha Prabhu Prenadi Vishwabhuk. Prabhu Prenadi Vishwabhuk. Because Krishna, who is eating through everybody, this Krishna who is eating, Vaishwanara inside, it is Krishna. That Krishna who is inside, let him be pleased with what I have offered to him. So eating is a very big thing, isn't it? It is a big thing, big yajnam it is. It's a big sacrifice. Nowadays it's not anymore. You see people standing one sandwich here, standing on the street or on the anywhere you can get. Tesco is selling sandwich packets. You just have to get it at the time when you need it. And there is no sacrifice, there is no yajnam, nothing. But what Krishna is saying here, if you go into the deeper level into this understanding of accepting prasadam, this is the proper process. 15th chapter, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Why 15th chapter? Because 15th chapter is the exposition of that absolute truth who is present in everyone. It's present in the yoga of the Supreme Person. It's called Purushottama Yogam. When we discuss that chapter, you will understand why it is so important that chapter is. The 15th chapter. Yoga of the Supreme Person. There are so many things in that chapter which requires a very elaborate study. So anyway, That chapter is normally recited before prasadam. Before prasadam is taken by the brahmanas. And after the prasadam, they recite these verses. So, one who is present in everyone and who is taking food, let him be pleased by the food what I have taken. This is that what verse is saying. One who is present in everyone and who is taking the, who is eating the food, that person, let him be pleased by the food what I have taken. What I have taken. This way of eating is called eating without false ego. Eating without false ego. You may think, to eat also there is false ego. There is, yes. If you are eating for your own sense gratification, oh, prasadam is very good. Who made this gulab jamun? If you ask this, that is full of false ego it is. Full of false ego. But eating without false ego means this, that eating, that who is eating, always that awareness always inside. Who is eating? Krishna is eating inside, isn't it? Andaryami is, that's whom you are feeding the food. And knowing very well that to please him for the food what I have taken. Remember that Jadabharata story I mentioned last time. Jadabharata was like that, wasn't it? Jadabharata never had any good prasadam, you know that. Nobody gave him anything good food. Everything what was given to him by his brothers, so-called brothers, was all the water that was used for washing the uradal. And some little uradal they used to put into that, it seems. It says in the Bhagavatam like that. And all the rejected food, whatever that was left over from the previous day, normally sometimes people give it to the cows or something, but they thought Jadabharata is qualified to have it. So they put all that together and send it to Jadabharata. You are not doing any work anyway, so why should we give you food? This was their logic. So they said, but when he was taking that food inside, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see, Amurda Dahandi, it was becoming nectar inside. Krishna thought, my devotee should not suffer like this. So everything what was gone into him, it turned into nectar at that time. And he ate very happily what was sent to him. What was sent to him. Ate very happily. It is in the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, you will see that he, how the food was sent to him, how he ate it, all that is explained there. The verses. So this is the same principle. So if you ask a question, can you analyze all this scientifically and explain this? It's not possible. Scientifically, you can't analyze this and know about it. Therefore, if only the way you can know about this is if you try it and see yourself. While taking prasadam, thinking that it is Krishna who is getting pleased inside, and if you take it in that way, you will see a satisfaction coming from that. Therefore, the same principle in the Mahabharatam also. Remember, when Draupadi was there and Durvasa Maharshi came and there was no food, isn't it? There was no food. You may ask the question, devotees will say, Krishna ate the prasadam and everybody was satisfied. That's our explanation normally. How did that happen? Because of this principle. Because Krishna is speaking in that state all the time. He is in that state. When he said that this food I am taking, when Krishna is pleased, means all the soul in everyone is pleased automatically. Automatically, isn't it? That Krishna is inside us also. Not only in the Durvasa's disciples and Durvasa. Because when they came back after bathing in the river, there was nothing left. That day food was finished. So, when Draupadi went inside the kitchen and saw some spinach or something left behind in the pot, she came back and told Krishna that there is nothing left. Krishna said, give me that spinach and everything will be okay. Krishna took the spinach, everybody got satisfied. Durvasa Maharshi and all his thousands of disciples who came with him, they all felt so full, they never wanted to have prasadam again. They never wanted to have prasadam again. So it depends on, it is that Krishna who has eaten like that is inside us as well. Inside us as well. So that bhavam, that mood is more important. The Krishna's that particular pastime is showing to us that if food is accepted in that way, like the way Krishna has accepted, it will fill everybody's belly. It'll fill everyone's belly. So that bhavam is what is more important. And if it is eaten in that way, others' belly also will be filled. Now, if somebody asks that, oh, can you show it to me by research? Can you conduct a research and show it to me? Then it is not possible. You have to accept it or reject it. That is up to the person. That's all you can say about it. So, but when that happens, then you will know that it can happen in that way. So, all it is in this state, when the jnanis receive their bhiksha, many jnanis have to go out and beg food because they never had to go out and work, isn't it? They always went out and begged for the food, for the daily needs. Devotees also, many realized devotees or realized jnanis, they don't go out and work. They have to get the food. They know very well that they deserve to have their food in this world. Krishna's arrangement, they will get it. They will get it. So it is because of this only, if you get to see a realized soul and able to offer food to him, it is considered to be a great fortune. Because when they are eating with this consciousness, like the way Krishna has eaten the food. Krishna has eaten the food. In other, just like if you feed one jnani, a realized soul, many other thousands of people will get their hunger gone. The hunger will be gone. Because why? Because they are in the state of Andaryami, Andaryami Swarupam. So that is why he says like this, Egatvena Prathaktvena Bahutha Vishwato Mukham. That two lines carry all these things there. Egatvena Prathaktvena Bahutha Vishwato Mukham. That Krishna's presence in so many living entities they are experiencing at one point, in one place. Egatvena Prathaktvena Bahudha Vishwato Mukham. After saying this, Krishna says, if that way, if it is executed, in order to substantiate that, in the next few verses, if you look, you will see the same topic is touched in a different way. Let's look at the next verse. 16. That means this different kind of upasana. In this verse, after satatam kirtayandomam, that verse, in this verse, jnana yajnena chapyanye yajandemam upasade, Krishna says, egatvena prathaktvena bahudha vishwato mukham. Isn't it? In so many ways people worship me. Krishna says, egatvena prathaktvena. Sometimes egatvena, sometimes prathaktvena. Sometimes in one form, sometimes in many forms, they worship me. And then, if when it is worshipped like that, all of that worship is also going to Krishna. All of that, it's all going to Krishna, Andaryami inside. If you have any doubt about that, to clarify that doubt is this next verse. Aham kraturaham yajna sothaham aham aushadham mandroham ahame vajyam aham agniraham hutam aham kraturaham yajna sothaham aham aushadham mandroham ahame vajyam aham agniraham hutam aham kratu aham yajnam sothaham aham aushadham mandram aham aham eva ajyam ijyam aham agni aham hutam. Everything is aham. Krishna is saying everything is aham because one has reached that state, what we saw in the last verse, when he has realized the Andaryami in everyone. At that state, for him, all these differences don't exist. Differences what? He says here, aham kratu. Aham kratu. Aham kratu means, all sacrifices is me. Krishna says, yagam yajnam, both sacrifices is me. Aham kratu, shrauda karma bhedaha aham eva. Aham yajna smartha kimja swatha annam pidrubhyo yadhiyate. Now, what is kratu and yajnam difference?
Kratu is Shraudam. Yajnam is Smartham. What's the difference? First of all, understand Shraudam and Smartham. Anything that comes from Shruti is Shraudam. Shruti means Vedam. Means Rika Yajusa Samam Atharvana Vedam. And the Upanishads. That's all Shruti. Smriti means, based on Shruti, Rishis have given us certain way of life. That's called Smriti. Great, great Rishis, like Yajnavalkya Smriti, Manusmriti, very famous. Manusmriti, very famous. Yajnavalkya Smriti, Parashara Smriti, Vedavyasa Maharshi's father. Parashara wrote a Smriti, Parashara Smriti. Like that, there is a lot of Smritis also. So, Shruti is there based on Vedam. And then Rishis have also given us what is called as Smriti. Sacrifices that is mentioned in the Shruti is called Kratu. Sacrifices mentioned in the Smriti is called Yajnam. That's the difference between Shruti and Kratu and Yajnam. Now, the interesting thing here is, some Rishis, they won't accept Smriti. Why is there is a reason, and there's a very valid reason also. You know that Smritis are written for the masses, for everybody. Smriti is written. In Smriti, there is a number of instructions where all the Vidhi Nishedham all comes. You do live like this, you follow. All these things has come from Smriti. For example, Shraddha ceremony. After death we perform Shraddham. All of the purificatory ceremonies, samskarams. Different things, what we do, isn't it? Like Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam, Simandam, Chaulam, Upanayanam, Vivaham, Samavartanam. All these, there's about 40 samskaras mentioned. They are all from the Smriti, not from the Shruti. They are from the Smriti. And that is given for Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, different purificatory things are mentioned. We have also got other things after death. We have the Shraddha ceremony and so many other things. 15 days contamination period and so many things mentioned there, isn't it? This is all Smriti. Nothing to do with Shruti. Why the Rishis don't accept Smriti? Some Rishis, not all. There's a lot of flexibility in the Vedic tradition also. Some Rishis are saying, each and every individual in this world is very unique. Is it not? We are all unique. Have you noticed that? In Maya's creation, not one person is like the other person. Everybody is different. Another thing is, each and every person has a different subtle body, what he has brought with him. For example, I'll give you some interesting thing about this. One person came and told me a lot of his problems in life. So he's suffering so many problems at home with different things, and he was telling me all those things. So I told him that don't worry about it, it will all go, Maya, this, that, everything, you pacified a little bit. He got pacified to some extent and he said, very thanks, he said. So I told him, when I am in trouble, I'll come to you. You tell me. Why is it like that? Because I cannot solve your problem, you can't solve my problem. Each one of us have come with our vasanas here and our prarabdham here. And me trying to write a book to solving everybody's problem is meaningless. It has no meaning. Each one of us have come here with our own problems, our own vasanas, our own prarabdham. And Maya is creating a situation for us to go through that. That's Maya's job. Maya's job is to complete this prarabdham through us, the prarabdha karma what we have brought with us, isn't it? We have to go through that. That's what this body has been given. This cloth dress has been put on us by Maya, so that I go through this. And she will create the situation to come through that, so prarabdham gets finished with that. So this thing called, you know, that you can write a blanket agreement, saying that if you follow all this Smriti, all your problems will be solved, is an illusion. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work like that. Because of the Maya's very specific style of creation it is. No one person is similar to another person. Everybody has distress in this world. Only difference is the distress is different type. You may be having one kind of distress, I have another kind of distress. Your distress is one form, my distress is in another form, but distress is there for everyone. So if you prescribe the solution to the problem, it is not going to work because of our different prarabdham and different vasanas inside. That is the reason behind it. So that is why we say all this counseling and all that, it's all waste of time. It's only you pay and you feel some satisfaction that I went to some counselor, he has told me do like this, and you go home, oh, he has told me to do like this, so I got a big relief because somebody has counseled me on something. I know counselors don't like this if you say that, but the reality is like this, that it doesn't change the situation. Situation is not going to change. Your distress will follow you. Till the prarabdham is gone, it has to come through you. There is no other way, solution to the problem. But you have to say something to people when they are in distress, isn't it? You can't just outrightly be harsh to them and ruthless about saying that, oh, it's all your karma, you suffer now. That approach won't work. But you have to pacify them, but knowing very well that that is not the solution to the problem. That doesn't solve the problem. Problem is still there. So here, Krishna is saying, aham kradu aham yajna, sotaham aham aushadham, mandram aham, ijya aham, aham agni aham hudam. That's the important thing. So look at the translation, you will see Krishna says, but it is who I am, the ritual, I am the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant, I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Is that the same translation? The books also. Yeah. Aham kradur aham yajna sadaham aham aushadam mandroham aham evajya aham agnir aham hutam. Krishna says like that, isn't it? So, aham kratu. All the karmam that is mentioned in the Shruti, Shraudha karmam, deva aham eva. Aham yajna smarthaha, that is from the Smriti. Kimcha swatha annam pidrubhyo yad dhiyate, aham aushadham sarva pranibhi, yad adyade tad aushada shabdha vachyam. Says here, the system of yagam in the Vedam is kratu. Krishna says, I am that. And the yajnam in the Smriti, I am that, Krishna says. And like the Shraddha ceremony, when you offer, actually the Shraddham and all, we have to properly understand. People give a lot of importance to Shraddham, isn't it? It has come through like that, through the tradition in that way. And they take it as a very great spiritual activity. Many people take it as a very great spiritual activity. But if you really understand that Shraddham, it is not something which has a great significance as far as the self-realization is concerned. It has nothing much to offer. Nothing much to offer as far as the realizing the self is concerned. So, pidrubhyo yadhiyade aham aushadam. So, Krishna says here, even the sacrifices like Shraddha ceremony, what you offer to the forefathers, pidralogam, all that is me. And what aushadha means, aham aushadam. All the aushadham. Aushadhi means generally all the plants and vegetables, everything what you take as medicines, whatever. That's all me, Krishna says. Everything is me. Everything is me. Now if you read that verse and the translation, I don't know how you will relate with that. Athava, swatha idi sarva prani sadharanam annam. Aushadham idi vyadhi upashamartham bheshajam. Krishna says that all the food what every living entity is taking in this world, anything, the food that is going into all living entities. For example, if the lion is eating the flesh, even that as well. Krishna says, I am that. Because all the food that goes inside, every living entity has a prescribed food in this world, isn't it? You know that we have a certain prescribed food. Other living entities also have some certain prescribed food for them. So all that is, Krishna says, swatha iti sarva prani sadharanam annam. All prani means all living entities, whatever food that is going in for their sustenance, survival, that's me, Krishna says. Then, aushadam iti vyadhi upashamartham bheshajam. Bheshajam means medicine. That for their sicknesses, whenever they take medicine, that medicine is me. We will explain all these things, what it means, how does it work. So, mantra aham yena pitrubhyo devadabhyah cha havi diyate aham eva ajyam havi cha aham agni yasmin huyade sa agni aham eva aham hudam havana karma cha kim cha. So, while offering to the demigods in the sacrifices and in the Shraddha ceremony for Pitudevadas, forefathers, many mantras are chanted. That mantram, Krishna says, is me. And you offer ghee and grains and everything into the fire, Krishna says, that's me. And that activity of making the offering, that's also me. So, everything Krishna says, it's me. So, these verses, not only this verse 16, 17, 18, and 19, all these four verses is only to bring this point to us, what we discussed in the verse 15. Upasana may change, process of worship may change. But all other process is ultimately ekatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham. To explain that, Krishna has spoken the other four verses. Ekatvena prithaktvena bahutha vishvato mukham. Here what's happening is, in these verses you can see when we come through that, this jnana yajnam, that means this knowledge, of Krishna as Antaryami present in everyone, is the one who is consuming the food. It is for him we are offering the food. That is what we say, eating without false ego. Isn't it? Similarly, if that same principle comes to sacrifices, it will be, the situation will be like this. Aham kradu aham yajna sodaham aham aushadha. The same Antaryami principle while taking food, how we take it, that Krishna is taking the food, therefore offering is for Krishna. Krishna is eating inside me, and this is what I have got today to offer it to Krishna inside. With that consciousness, if you are taking food, that is a proper way to eat the food, as mentioned in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That principle of eating food in that way, as Andarya, that's where it comes. Aham Vaishyanaryo Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita. Isn't it? Some people don't chant the whole 15th chapter. They only chant that verse. One particular verse. Which is Aham Vaishwanara Bhutva. Because they may not have the time to chant all the verses. There's only 20 verses in that chapter. But sometimes they chant only one verse. Aham Vaishwanara Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita. Pajamyannam Chaturvidham. That is that verse, isn't it? But sometimes, that same principle, if you bring it to sacrifices, Krishna is saying, aham kradu aham yajnam andraham sadaham aham aushadam mandroham aham evajyam aham agni aham hutam. So, we have seen that. Now, let's look at this way. First of all, understand what this aham aham means. What does that aham means? Aham means, there's only one meaning to that aham, that is Antaryami. Antaryami is that aham. Aham, it is on that, otherwise it will completely confuse us. If you completely leave Antaryami behind, and if he says, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is saying to me that aham kratu aham yajna, sadaham aham aushadam, mandroham aham evajam, aham agni aham hudam, is not able to connect everything, isn't it? So that is why the first thing to remember here in these verses is, wherever Krishna is saying aham, 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 it is aham refers to that Antaryami. Aham refers to Antaryami. So, keeping that Antaryami as Krishna, Krishna is saying here aham, aham. It is that Antaryami speaking there. Kratu yaga visheshaha. Kratu also means that in Kratu there will be himsa, violence. Many, many sacrifices in the Vedam, it is based on violence also. Like for example, Ashwamedham, for horse sacrifice, it is. Isn't it? Yudhishthira Maharaj performed so many Ashwamedha sacrifices. Prithu Maharaj performed Ashwamedham. Many, 99 he performed. 100th one, Indra came and stopped it. You know that in the Bhagavadam, there is Ashwamedham sacrifice. Then there is other sacrifices as well. Agnishtomam, Vajapeyam, Adhiratram, there are many like that. And several of those sacrifices involves violence, killing. Killing is involved. Some people who do not understand the Vedic way of thinking, they start saying that, oh, how can you kill? You are talking about non-violence and then you are killing the animals. There is big principles behind this killing of the animals in the sacrifice. When they kill the animals in the sacrifice, the guarantee is given to them that they will have a human birth in their next life. They had that faith, the power of the mantra was such that they will accept a human body in their next life. Now, wherever there is violence, himsa, that is called kratu. It's also called kratu. When there is no violence, it is called advaram. It's called advaram. Advaram is also called yajnam. So, because in the, if you look into Rigvedam, that is the first suktam itself. They are called suktam or hymns, what we call it. The first suktam is Agnimile Purohidam. That is the beginning of the first verse itself. Four lines are there. It begins with Agnimile Purohidam. So, that Agni suktam, it is addressing Agni, fire. It's addressing Agni. It glorifies Agni nicely and says to the Agni, who is this Agni Purohidam? In other words, in yajnam, in sacrifice, there are four positions in the big sacrifices. Hodhava, Udghadava, Advaryu, Brahman. They sit on the four sides of the sacrificial, what do they call they make the kundam, Agni kundam they call it, where the fire is burning, isn't it? They make it with the bricks. And on the four sides, four people are sitting and all four of them have their own role to play in the sacrifice. So, for sacrifices, Hotava and Purohit is also Agni. So, so that verse in the Rigvedam, which says Agni Mile Purohitam, when it comes to Upanishads, the same principle is brought into the knowledge side of it. Now, coming back to that thing what I mentioned, that Shruti and Smriti. Smriti is what the Manusmriti, Parashara Smriti, Yajnavalkya Smriti is for everybody. Written in a general way, one has to follow rules and regulations and everything. In Shruti, the part that is referring to the knowledge of the self, which is attributed to self-realization, that knowledge is for everybody. That is not, that cannot change. No matter who it is, if you take up that knowledge seriously and realize the self, the purpose of Vedam is completed there. You don't need Vedam after that. Upanishads, Vedam, everything is not required. So, this is where the understanding has to be very clear in us. Why we study Vedam? Vedam is not for following rules and regulations. Rules and regulations, Smriti and all the other books what has been written giving us different injunctions is only to get us into the stage of accepting this knowledge of the Vedam. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Upanishads have only one message to the world, realize the self, nothing else. And that knowledge in the Upanishads, that doesn't change at any time, unlike Smriti. Smriti will change. For example, in Smriti there are instructions. Now, the instruction in the Smriti, you will sometimes find contradicting each other. Contradicting each other. That is why we have problem today. Sometimes our devotees, they go and pick up this Manusmriti. And if you read Manusmriti, it will completely confuse you now. And if you think, how on earth are we going to follow this in this world, what Manu is telling there? Isn't it? Manusmriti, that shows that Smriti is not as perfect as Shruti. Shruti is perfect. Smriti is not perfect. Smriti was written at a particular time by the rishis for the people who lived in them days to advance in spiritual life, they are given certain instructions. You can't put it on a blanket for everybody, on a blanket level to everyone. You can't apply that. Because what you can read in the Smriti, you will see sometimes two Smritis contradicting. Sometimes you will also see many things mentioned in the Smriti is not practical. It's simply not practical. It is simple as that. And then we are thinking that, oh, they are all Vedic literature, they are all Vedic literature, everything applies, everything. They will read all the Puranams, all the Smritis, all the Upanishads, and then they are completely confused and gone. Finished, everything is over there. Then you will do what you like at the end. That's what happens, isn't it? That's why we need that discrimination to know which one to accept, which one to reject. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavatam later about it. So, Smriti, many things, just like there nowadays, you know, there is a discussion going on about female Diksha Gurus. You must have read, those who are reading the internet, you will see whether women should become Diksha Gurus or not. It's a big discussion going on. Everybody is writing back and forth about it. Somebody is saying that if it is acceptable that they have to be Diksha Gurus as well, then what about the olden days they had this sati system? The wife went and jumped into the fire. As soon as, how many of these Diksha Gurus are ready to jump into the fire? They are asking the question. There ends the, all the question finished. There is no discussion after that, is there? So how do you bring this jumping into the fire business and all from the Smriti it has come. It's not from the Shruti. Shruti has nothing to do with any of these things. Shruti has only one thing to tell us. We are soul, spirit soul. Realize it now. You got this body, opportunity to realize it. How you do it, that's your business. They have given us the way, different ways, and rishis have told us the process also in different ways. You have to have that intelligence to discriminate things. So, just like in this case, there are some people, they want to be Diksha Gurus. Some people don't want to be Diksha Gurus. So, the question somebody is asking like this, that if we are following, Smriti says like this, they quoted some Smriti, that we had in the history, somebody was, some women were Diksha Gurus, so based on that we should have them as Diksha Gurus. And all that kind of arguments are coming. So another person is writing that we had this system in the past when the husband gave up the body. And they're quoting Prithu Maharaj's case. Prithu gave up the body, Archis went into the fire and jumped into the fire and gave up her body. Is any of these Diksha Gurus are willing to do that? They're asking the same question. It's very hilarious. The whole thing is so hilarious. Because when you don't know that when to apply which knowledge from which ashram, you will get thinking that everything is the same. Manusmriti is not same as Upanishads. Manusmriti is not same as Rigvedam. Or any Smriti is not same as the Shruti. Shruti is of a, Shruti is what was revealed to the sages by Krishna. He has revealed it through them to the world. And that is the absolute truth. And there is no difference. That you can see. If you study Upanishads, you will see whether it is Ishopanishad or Kathopanishad. You will see the knowledge in the Shruti is for anyone can take advantage of it and realize the truth. It's all in relationship with the self-realization. Nothing to do with the how we live in this world, whether you jump into the fire or you don't jump into the fire, it doesn't matter. Shruti is concerned. Shruti is not bothered with what happens. So here you can see Agnimile Purohidam in that verse itself. The first thing is they pay their obeisances to Agni, the fire. And they also say that Agni, what is burning inside every one of us, what is that? Chitshakti, the fire that is burning inside. That it is not the Agni that is burning outside, and all the great sages, they have paid their obeisances to Agni, to that fire. Why? It is that same fire that is burning inside as the knowledge. Inside as the knowledge. It is that fire that is burning. Agni is not just a fire what you see. There is a lot of discussion about this Agni. That is also very interesting. How Agni influences our life. Agni influences our life. I heard once a person saying, it was very interesting I thought. He said that many, many temples are hesitant to cook on gas. They don't want to cook on gas. So this thing called heat, which is the characteristics of the fire, It is there present in everything. For example, in the wood it is present, isn't it? In the gas it is present. And it is present in different forms of wood. There are special wood which is particularly useful for cooking, which burns well, which has got a good calorific value, whatever the scientists say like that, isn't it? So Agni is present in the wood, Agni is present in the gas also. Agni is present in the petroleum products also, is it not? Agni is present in the petroleum products also. When you cook, what is happening? The Agni in the wood comes out, or Agni in the gas comes out, or Agni in the oil comes out. And that Agni is what influences the food what you are cooking, isn't it? In the fifth canto, there is a discussion about it, that you have a pot of water and you start heating the pot. So Agni, what does Agni do first? Agni heats the pot. When the pot is hot, then Agni influences the water inside the pot. Then that means Agni has an influence on, enters into the pot and then enters into the water. And then Agni in the water enters into the food. If you put the rice or whatever that you are cooking in the pot, it enters into the rice, is it not? So what does that mean? That means that Agni, what is entering into the food what you are eating, has some significance, because that Agni is going inside us as well through the food. Through the food, it's not that it's just cooking and we are eating it. That Agni which has entered into the pot, into the water and into the food, that enters into us as well. So in Kali Yugam, because that Agni is coming from the crude oil and the gas, that is why we are running around on the four-wheelers like this all the time. This is the conclusion. That as though it is full with the diesel and the petrol inside. Because that's where that Agni has come from there. That's why we can't sit in one place. This understanding is important, because we are thinking of something we require to heat the food, to cook the. Now we say microwave is the best. There is nothing required. I simply put it in, adjust the time, 5 minutes, out, finished, everything is over. Do you think that all these rishis were stupid? That they didn't know about it? They could have developed this. No, they didn't have that. Their understanding was so deep and sukshmam. In such a deep level they knew that, has Agni got anything to do with me? When Agni goes inside through the food, is it going to create any changes in me? They have noticed that. That is why they insisted certain type of wood only to be used for cooking and offering to the deities. That's why many ancient temples, even though firewood is so expensive now, they are not willing to change to gas. Because they know it's not something we do it on a gross level. All this has very underlying principles behind it. So Agni has to be understood in that way. Agni changes everything. Agni's presence inside is, it is able to transform something, isn't it? They are able to transform something. So similarly, when that Chit Shakti inside, when that wakes up, what happens? It changes us. It changes ourselves completely. So as much as when we have different vasanas inside us, when we have many vasanas and desires which are inside us, and as much as you are able to sacrifice that into the fire of knowledge, knowledge is like a fire. All our vasanas means impressions inside, and all our desires inside, as much as we are able to offer them into the fire of knowledge, we will get purified. That is that principle what Krishna has spoken here. Aham kratu aham yajna. Sudha aham aham aushadam. This aham 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 Krishna is talking about is that referring to that andaryami inside. As much as we offer our impressions inside and all our desires inside through that fire of knowledge, when you offer it to that, it gets burnt in that. That is the power of knowledge. That's what Krishna is bringing forth in that verse. Otherwise it won't make any sense. If you simply say to somebody, aham kradur aham yajna sudha aham aham aushadam, മന്ത്രോഹമഹമേവാജ്യം അഹം അഗ്നി അഹം ഹുതം. ഇൻ ഓൺ എ സൂപ്പർഫിഷ്യൽ ലെവൽ, ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഓൺ ദി സർഫസ്, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ മീൻ സാക്രിഫൈസ്, ഓഫറിങ് എവറിഥിങ്, ഫൈൻ. ബട്ട് വാട്ട് എക്സാക്ട്ലി ഡസ് ഇറ്റ് മീൻ? ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദിസ്, that in the fire of knowledge, if you offer all your vasanas or impressions inside, all your material desires, everything offered into that fire, it will get burned in that process and you will become, realize the truth inside. So that agni has to become strong inside. Which one? The fire of knowledge. So so that means when that fire of knowledge builds up inside, that anubhuti means realization, isn't it? That's how they address that. Anubhuti is the word they use. When that anubhuti develops inside, that yamadhvaram, adhvaram means that in the first suktam itself it comes, when karmam, when activities, karmam is executed, our one or two things what we have to remember is this, that when we come to this world, in our subtle body we carry a lot of impressions which is called vasanas, isn't it? We have got also our prarabdham to go through in this world. Prarabdham, vasanas are there, prarabdham is there. Prakriti has given this body to us to go through that prarabdham, to go through that prarabdham, and according to the vasana, prarabdham will has to act. Prarabdham has to act. The vasanas will be there, prarabdham will be there, prakriti is there. Prakriti is there. So what will happen is that when we engage in karmam, due to vasana we will act, is it not? Due to vasana we will act, because vasana is there inside, we will act in this world. When we act in this world, we will create a lot of new karma vasana. Fresh karma vasana will come from that. And that karma vasana in turn will generate another material body. This is a continuous cycle, goes on life after life. So when this process is going on, to break away from that is not possible. The only option one has is what is called, Krishna explained that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself, is karma yoga. Karma yoga is the only way to check that multiplying nature of this vasana. First we have come, brought some vasanas with us. Through that vasana we are engaging in karma. We can't avoid that, because vasanas will force you to act, like Krishna said to Arjuna also. When we act, it will create fresh vasana, and that vasanas will create another material body again to act again. This way an endless cycle. If you want to come out of this cycle, Krishna is saying the only option is karma yoga. That is how Krishna brought the first 6 chapters in the karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. So there you can see here that karma yoga means what? The 4 things Krishna mentions there, isn't it? What are the chatursutram they call it? That I am not the doer. What's that verse? കർമ്മണ്യവാ അധികാരസ്ഥേ മാ ഫലേഷു കദാചന മാ കർമ്മ ഫലഹേതുർ മാതേ സംഗോസ്വകർമ്മണി. ദീസ് 4 പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾസ് ആർ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് ഫോർ കർമ്മയോഗം. മോർ ഡീറ്റെയിൽ എക്സ്പ്ലനേഷൻ ഓഫ് കർമ്മയോഗം കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ദി ലേറ്റർ ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ ദ 4th, 5th ആൻഡ് എവറിഥിങ്. നൗ ഇഫ് വി ഡു ഫോളോ ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മയോഗം കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് പോസിബിൾ ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് ഫ്രഷ് വാസനസ് വോണ്ട് ബിൽഡ് അപ്പ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. That's a way to escape from that, not to generate fresh vasanas inside. That's why that karma yoga must be spoken there. So when that is executed in that way, it becomes yajnam. When karma yoga is executed that way, it becomes yajnam. Aham kratu. So there are sacrifices where there is violence involved. So Krishna is saying, even in those sacrifices, who is experiencing the results of that as Antaryami is me, Krishna says. So you can see in the nature there is both himsa and ahimsa, violence and non-violence, both exist. We have seen this before, isn't it? That in the same person both violence and non-violence exist. Remember that story I mentioned about the leopard and the monkey? The mother, the monkey which was pregnant, she was jumping from one tree to another. Leopard wanted to eat the monkey, caught the monkey and killed the monkey mother. In that process, the monkey delivered the baby. As soon as the baby came out, the same leopard left the mother monkey, took the baby and started protecting the baby. Same leopard who wanted to kill and eat the mother gave up its propensity to kill, rather it became a protective, motherly nature suddenly came out through the leopard. Earlier it was a demoniac nature, the leopard's normal nature, wanted to kill and eat. Straight away after that it changed to, switched on to this other nature. So one side full of violence, other side full of love. So Krishna says here, aham kratu aham yajnaha. In kratu there is many places where there is violence involved, I am that. And then there is yajnam where there is sacrifices done, that's also me. Both are in me, Krishna is saying. Aham kratu aham yajnaha. So without any attachment, completely without expectation of any results, knowing very well, Krishna is saying, in those situations, everything, the bhaladhadav, the one who gives the results of the karma is me, Krishna is saying. The one who gives the results also is me. If you remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that, Nachakarma bhalasam yogam, Krishna is saying that karmam and bhalam has no connections. Kartrutvam nachakarmani. Logasya srijati prabhu. Nakarma bhalasam yogam. Svabhavastu pravartade. From that verse you can understand kartrutvam is not there. Nachakarmani. Logasya srijati prabhu. So, nachakarma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartade. So that svabhavam in a person, like you saw in this leopard, is working all the time. Svabhavam is working. Its svabhavam is one point it wanted to kill and the next moment it wanted to protect. So the svabhavam is coming out. Krishna is saying here that the one who gives the result, bhaladhadav, is me, Krishna is saying there. Because nothing exists outside Krishna. That is the point Krishna is driving at. Aham kratu, aham yajna, sudhaham, aham aushadam, mandroham, aham evajyam, aham agni, aham hutam. The only principle what Krishna wants to tell us through that verse is, in everything what is happening, whether it is a sacrifice, it's a yagam, yajnam, doesn't matter what it is, in all of those things, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the one who gives the results, Krishna is the one who is performing that, all the activity is Krishna. But through the language of the Vedam, when it comes like this. Because this is the language of the Vedic times, isn't it? This verse is a representation of the Vedic times. Yajnam, yagam, sacrifices, ijya. Ijya means this, the same. And agni, fire. Everything is based on that Krishna is speaking. But what we have to understand from this is that in all activities, Krishna is the controller in everything. Aham kratu aham yajna sudaham aham aushadham mandroham aham evajya. So everything Krishna says, I am that. Kratuhu shraudha karma bhedena aham eva shraudha karmam kratu smartha karmam yajnam. After saying this, Krishna also talks about the forefathers. That is the next verse you will see there, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. So, jnana yajnena chapyanye yajande mamupasade egatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvado mukham. We have seen that verse, and then Krishna is saying, based on that, various upasana, various processes have come about. That is the next two or three verses. So Krishna mentions in this 16th verse, aham kratu aham yajna, sudhaham aham aushadham, mandroham aham evajyam, aham agni aham hudham. That is what we were talking about, isn't it? So we have seen there This aham aham aham, Krishna is talking about, it's always this antaryami in everybody. Antaryami in everyone. It is that antaryami aspect that Krishna is stressing in those verses. So we have also seen, Krishna mentions there that mandroham aham eva ajyam, aham agni aham hutam. In other words, mandram aham yena pidrubhyo, that means for forefathers, when you are offering food in the shraddham, shraddha ceremony, that's what we do, isn't it? We offer the food to the forefathers. Mandram aha yena pidrubhyo devadabhyah cha havi diyade, aham eva ajyam havi cha aham agni yasmin huyade sa agni aham eva aham hudam havana karmam cha kim cha. So when we offer food to the demigods and also to the forefathers, at that time, that all the mantra, what they recite at that time, and all the havyam, havyam means all the ingredients, the ghee and other things, what you make in the offer, Krishna says, all of them is me. Krishna says, all of them is me. Let's understand it properly. You see here, Krishna is saying, the food that is offered to the forefathers, we are offering to the forefathers, isn't it? In Shraddha ceremony, that's what you do. Some people are very serious about the Shraddham. Some people are less. Some people don't bother. You will see all category of people in this world. Some people take it so seriously. Some people in a middle level say, if it happens, it happens. Some people say, why bother? They are gone. Why bother about them? This is all these three, and nobody understands what it's all about. They just thinking, there's some understanding that there's somebody there that must. Then they also gets confused, because Krishna is saying, as soon as you leave the body, you accept another body. So then the question is there, that I'm offering here, who is eating then? You ask everybody the same question, people will give you different answers. And it confuses people more and more. That's why one Swami read all these things, and he couldn't make head and tail of the whole thing. And he says that all this is very difficult to tell the people. Best thing is we distribute the books. We don't explain anything what is written in there. That's why distribution became more important than reading it. Because if you read it, it's not getting anywhere. So rather we distribute it and keep the people quiet about. So as you read it, it's written there, whatever. You understand? I don't understand, but I give you the book, you can read. It comes to that stage. That's what's happening now. That's what is going on everywhere, isn't it? And we read the scorecard later. We have distributed so many books. That's enough. Why bother what's written there? Books have gone out. That's what matters at the end. So let's understand what this Pitralokam means. What this Vish Krishna says there. Some people are asking that after the death, after studying Bhagavad Gita, they are asking the question, where did the father and mother has gone and taken birth? How do we know? Where are they now? We are giving it to them, saying the food, and not only that, you have to do it every year. Strictly speaking, according to the Smriti, you have to do it every year. Every year you have to do that. And you know very well that Bhagavad Gita is telling us also that as soon as you leave the body, you accept another body. So where is this food going then? This question is in everybody's heart, those who are doing it. If you ask the Purohit, he also won't tell you. He says, don't ask questions, he'll say. If you ask questions, he is not there to answer your questions. He's only there to chant the mantra and get your dakshina from you. That's all. That's the business is over. So for whom are we performing the Shraddham? What is the principle behind it? What is the meaning of all these things? This is what one has to know about this. Shraddha means, the word Shraddham comes from the word Shraddha. Shraddham, in the Bhagavatam you will see, Shraddham kuryat na vistaret. Shraddham should not be performed in an elaborate way, like marriage. It should always be kept to the very simple. That's the first principle of Shraddham. Shraddham kuryat na vistaret. It says in the 7th canto. In the 14th or 15th chapter, he talks about. So it is from the word Shraddha, the word Shraddham has come. Shraddham has come first in the Shraddha. When we are performing this Shraddha ceremony, it is not for the father or mother who has left us and who has gone and taken birth somewhere else. the connection on a bodily level is over with the death. When the mother dies or father dies, the connection is finished. Then for whom is this offering done? In all of us, there is father and mother. In us, inside us. That is what, you can see this. The if you look Devi Bhagavatam, it mentions there, Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Matri Rupena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. That this Madhra Bhavam, or the feeling as a mother, is in everybody. That protective nature is in everyone. So that father concept is also in everybody, in the sense that I am born with that as a son of somebody, as a son of somebody, but I am also the father of someone, isn't it? I am also the son of somebody, I am also the father of someone. One day somebody asked a child how old, he was about 10 years old. So somebody asked him, how old is your father? He said, 10 years. He said, answer was 10 years. So he asked him, why do you say like that? He says, he became a father only when I was born. So he's also 10 years as a father, only he's 10 years old, he said. This is not different. He has become a father only when the son is born, he has become a father, isn't it? Before that, he was not a father. So he's also as old as me, he said. So this father nature, or the mother, or someone becomes a mother only when the baby is born. Otherwise, not a mother anymore, isn't it? So in that sense, there is a father, there is a mother in everybody. And that Madhra Bhavam or Pitra Bhavam, you feel a gratitude for what they have done to us, isn't it? Father has done certain things, they brought you up. Mother has done so many things to bring you up. And in their position, they have done some sacrifices, gave us food, gave us shelter, and brought us up. And that, in return to that, we feel a gratitude for that to be given. But this Madhra Bhavam and Pitra Bhavam is in everybody. Everyone has got that. And that is in everybody's, in every cell. It is there in cell. We have so many bhavam inside us, isn't it? Inside, so many thoughts in us, inside us. In a subtle level, when you look at each one of us, we have certain impressions inside about different relationships. Different relationships. We have that. So the father and mother may have done something which has touched us. Which has touched us. Now, as father and the mother, it is this Antaryami from inside who has done that. As father and mother, on a bodily level, the relationship is over. As soon as death happens, they are finished and it is over. Connection is over. But on an Antaryami level, that relationship is not over yet. That still remains. So, because that connection is there through the Antaryami level, not with that person anymore in that form, in that body, but in Antaryami level, we have an obligation. Why? Because we have received something from someone, in return we want to pay back. And it is on this principle that Shraddha ceremony has come. That is the only principle, nothing else. And so actually it is a bhavam, it is that is inside. Like for example, you can see that so many instances you will know very well that the death is over in so many, because in the Bhagavatam, but if you remember the Chitrakedu story, that Jiva is telling to Chitrakedu that you have come as my father in this lifetime. I was the father of somebody else in the previous life. Who is my father? He is asking. In other words, if you go on a bodily level, this question has no meaning. This has no meaning. Shraddha ceremony has no meaning on the level of the body. Only if you come to the Antaryami level, thinking that Antaryami inside, who is inside you, and who is inside, who has done something to you as a benefactor of their services, what in that form Antaryami has come as father and mother and done to you. You feel naturally the gratitude for that. That paying back that gratitude is the Shraddha ceremony. Shraddha ceremony. That's why Krishna is saying, Pidaham asya jagatom aham kratu aham yajna sudaham aham aushadam. So when Shraddha ceremony is performed, who is receiving that? That Antaryami
who has given you that benefits or any help that is given you in your life, you are paying back to the same Antaryami who gave it to you. That is all it is. So it's an expression of that gratitude to the Antaryami who did this to you in your times when you needed it. And in return, that feeling inside as a father or a mother that you want to pay it back to them. And that is what this Shraddha ceremony is all about. But that subtle principle is completely forgotten now. Mostly people think, oh, my father, my mother, he was there. Because you are only seeing the body, nothing from the spiritual platform. Everything is based on the body, isn't it? So you can see from this that if you had felt some gratitude for the father or mother, it will remain as an impression inside. It won't go. So in other words, if that impression remains there, you may have to accept another body to pay it back, to fulfill that, complete that cycle. Isn't it? You had accepted something from, so it remains as a vasana. The way to wipe out that vasana from inside is the Shraddha ceremony. Shraddham does that. What happens is, when you perform the Shraddham, it gives you a satisfaction inside. I have remembered that person who has done this to me in my difficult days and cared for me, and I have remembered him on that day, and that is all this ceremony is all about. But at the same time, the person who has done everything, Krishna is saying, the help you have got as the father and mother is through the Antaryami. And the person who is receiving your offering is also the Antaryami. Aham kratu, aham yajna, sudhaham, aham aushadam, mandroham, aham evaja, aham agni, aham hudam. Everything is me, everything is Antaryami, everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. So, it is not for father and mother who has gone and taken birth somewhere else in some other body. That relationship is over straight after the death. It is finished there. But within ourselves, there is that impression still there. The mother who gave the birth, the father who gave this body, and one who has brought us up, all these things. That bhavam we had a relationship with them, isn't it? In some, a feeling of gratitude or feeling of kindness, what they have shown to us, that is still there. So that bhavam or that gratitude, whatever one have, you have to pay that back to Antaryami in this way. Antaryami in this way. But this particular thing is finished for as soon as you realize the self. It doesn't exist anymore. That is the beauty of that. Jnanis, sannyasis, they don't perform Shraddha ceremony for this reason. This is only for the householder. Only those who haven't reached that state. Once you have realized the self, there is no Shraddham after that. I don't know, nowadays they may also be doing, who knows, who is doing what. Nobody understands the principle behind it. But Shraddham, sannyasis are not supposed to do, nor the realized jnanis, they don't do Shraddha ceremony. They don't need to. Why? The reason for that is, as far as they are concerned, Antaryami is one, present in everything. Who is doing? The one who is doing is ahankaram, false ego inside. That ahankaram is gone from inside. So long as you have that jiva bhavam, ahankaram inside, you have to do this. It's only a purification for yourself. Only for your own purification you are doing that. Not for the sake of the father, mother who left us and gone. They are not there to take it anymore. Only for your own purification, which means that Antaryami who worked through the father and mother and gave us that help when we needed, even though while in this body, especially in the childhood. At that time, that impression inside that they have given us this, a gratitude, that bhavam is inside, impression inside. In order that gratitude to go, the way to release that impression from inside is through the Shraddha ceremony. But once you realize the self, Shraddha ceremony has no meaning after that. There is no meaning after that. So they don't need that after that. So that is why in the Upanishads it is Mata Nasti, Pita Nasti, Nasti Bandhu Sahodaryaha. Realize the soul, for him there is no mother, there is no father. And there is no relations, there is no brothers, no sisters, nothing for him. Because they don't have anything. They themselves have come to the stage that they don't exist.
Ahankaram is not there, false ego is gone. They have realized the truth, they know what the self means. They are not identifying with the body anymore. So therefore, Shraddham also doesn't exist for them. So they have transcended everything, in other words. And that is why you will see that the verse in the Bhagavatam, Devarshi Bhudapta Nirnam Pidarnam Na Kingaro Naya Mrani Charajan Sarvalpanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gado Mugundam Parihritya Kartam. There is a verse later on when Sri Narada Maharshi talks about this, I think to Vasudeva and Devaki, that normally we have debts. What is the debt? Demigods, we have debts. Because they maintain us in this world, supplying us the air, water, fire, everything. So we have debt towards them. Then, Devarshi Bhudapta Nirnam Pidranam. We have three kinds of debts. One towards the forefathers, what they have done for us. We have a gratitude for them, debt towards them. Then we have a debt towards the sages who has given us the knowledge, the rishis. They gave us the knowledge how to live in this world and how to realize the self. Therefore, we have a debt towards them. So these three categories, debt towards the demigods, debt towards the forefathers, and debt towards the sages. These three debts exist. We have to repay them. That is the householder's responsibility. Once you realize the self, there is no debt towards anybody, towards anyone. How do you repay it? Repay the debt towards the demigods through sacrifices. Repay your debt towards the forefathers through this Shraddha ceremony and others. And repay your debt towards the rishis by studying the Shastra. This is the principle. Devarshi Bhudapta Nirnam Pidranam Na Kingaro Nayam Nicharajan. But Sarvalpanaya Sharanam Sharanyam. If a person has taken complete shelter of Krishna and surrendered to Krishna and realized the truth, Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartram, he has no more obligations towards anyone in this world. It's a Bhagavatam verse, it is. So these things are Smriti, it comes from Smriti. All these Shraddha ceremony and everything comes from Smriti. Smriti is saying that in your household life, if you have been a father or mother, or if you are a son of a daughter, whatever it is, you have these obligations. It is a part of the Smriti, not Shruti. Shruti is not asking you to do any Shraddha ceremony. Shruti is telling us, realize the self. That's all Shruti has got to tell us. So, therefore, you can see that all these, then why all these Shraddha ceremony and other, the thing is, idea behind that is, Smriti has only one goal, to regulate us in such a way in this life here, that while living here itself in this world, that that it makes you progress closer towards the principle of self-realization. Because this discipline in life will help a person to understand the truth. To understand how? Because it makes you aware the subtleties of life. On a gross level, because you don't know anything about father, mother, you will just ignore it. But if you know this principle that Antaryami has helped you in the form of that father and mother, and inside you also have this feeling as father and mother, a gratitude feeling, that vasana inside, if it gets released through these ceremonies of Shraddham, you are at least freed from that vasana inside. That's the idea behind it. So because of this, so people, they have lesser understanding of the purpose for which, because general people don't have time to study all these things, is there? They will just say, what I have seen is that about 30, 40 years ago, people were doing to some extent. But now, they are supposed to go to one of the holy rivers where they are supposed to perform all these ceremonies, Shraddha ceremony, and they are the Purohits there to help you to chant the mantra and everything. But now the son is in America, daughter is in Australia, and grandson is in Canada, or who is going to perform where? What Shraddha will be performed? So one group of people have gone completely in that way. So, but some people still perform Shraddham. Do you know why? Not by understanding all these things. They are frightened if will they come? Because while living, they have done a lot of damage to them. They didn't care for them. for the father or mother. They didn't care for them. So they're thinking that the old man, what is he going to do? But they're frightened, after death will he come back and give me trouble? So they've started Shraddham seriously. While living, no care. But after death, will he come and haunt me later? So he becomes very serious about Shraddham then. He goes to, every year he is very particular, going to Gaya, going to Benares, everywhere, and consulting all the pundits and priests and saying, has everything been done? Because some trouble comes in life, some problem happens at home. And then he started, some old lady in the house says, oh, you didn't do that Shraddha ceremony, that's why it has happened like this. It will starts off then. Then the whole house gets busy, involved in that. So this is the trouble. This is the problem. This is how it develops into. And then the old people in the house, they inject this into everybody in life. Look, you perform the Shraddham and I die, won't you? He says to the father, mother is telling this to the children. So this is happening all the time. Children, what interest have they got in the Shraddha ceremony? What do they understand? They're not understood. Because on the one hand, you are telling them, as soon as you change the body, you get another body. So you're not able to connect these two things. I don't know how to explain to them. So the child gets completely confused. He says, after a while, he gives up everything. So this is what is going on in the society today. So out of fear only, people are doing Shraddham now. Out of fear, simply out of fear. When you see their enthusiasm to do the Shraddham, you start wondering where from this bhakti has come suddenly like this. Even as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, they are not too bothered. That can wait. But Shraddham, no. Very important. Should be done now, right now. They're so concerned about that. So actually, Shraddham has to be there while living. While living. Because at that time, whatever debt you have, you should try to pay it back. After that, what happens after death, there's very little you can do about it. So here it is, one thing to remember here is that whatever you do after death is only a symbol. It's only a symbol. While living, if you don't do it, it is all worthless at the end. But what you see in some people is that they become very serious about Shraddham after death. While living, if you don't give that care or attention, whatever, it doesn't mean that you have to go and spend all your time and energy in that. But while living, whatever you can offer to them as a gratitude, that is the important thing. So these things are... So that obligations everybody feels, what one has for the father and the mother. And that is a bhavam, a mood inside of every person has that on his own, isn't it? And very refined people, it will be there in a very natural way, in a natural way. So according to that sampradaya system, that Shraddham is performed. Shraddham is performed. One interesting thing about Shraddham is, 90% of Shraddham doesn't have much of a mantra in there. There's not much mantra to chant in Shraddham. If you observe this in Gaya when you go, it was shocking actually. When I went to Gaya, and the pandit, Gaya is in Bihar, isn't it? So the pandits who are, what happens is you go to Benares, and Benares is the center. Everywhere is centered around Benares. From all over the country people come to Benares for performing the Shraddha ceremony. But the ceremonies are complete only if you go to Gaya. So from Benares itself, they have everything very properly set up there. They will send you a priest with you to go to Gaya. And he will go with you to Gaya, and it's about a 4 hours train drive from Benares to Gaya. So when you get there to Gaya, there is a priest there. These people all have a network lined up together. All, and they all get their commission also from the customers they bring in. It is set up, it's so efficient. Then when you get there, the Purohit there, he comes, he takes over. And this man hands you over to him. And he is the one who is responsible after that. And then he goes to that, there is a famous river there in Gaya. He goes, takes you there, he bathes in the river, and the ceremony is performed there. And then he starts chanting the mantra. So you start thinking that he's going to chant some special mantras from reference to Shraddha ceremony. All the mantram is Vishnu Sahasranamam, he is chanting, and he is, because most of the people won't even notice it, He chants so many things which are only from the thousand names of Vishnu or thousand names of Shri Parvati, and he chants them and he's finished everything. And he hands over to you the prasadam and you take it and leave that place. So the thing is, there is not much of a mantram in this Shraddha ceremony also. So you can see many of them are very questionable. They are not mantras meant for the Shraddha ceremony. So anyway, there is no question about that. The person who is going there, he just wants to finish and get up, escape from there. That's what he wants to do. So whether you have understood the meaning of the mantra or not, that is not important at that time. Only thing what you have to remember is this. Whatever you have utilized from the other people, father or mother, whatever you have received from them, if you are paying back that bhavam, that mood, that's what it matters. Nothing more than that. You have received something from someone, you are paying back. That's all it is about this Shraddham. Nothing more than that. Therefore, the best thing is not to accept anything as much as possible. If you accept something, then you have to pay back that at some time. So the idea thing is that if you have developed that mood inside, bhakti will develop. That is the important thing. Bhakti is like this, that bhakti is a bhavam, isn't it? A bhavam, a mood that develops inside, that I have received all these things from different people and I owe them. That gratitude, bhavam inside, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. Everything is bhakti. Bhakti is not something that you sit and chant 16 rounds. That's not the only bhakti. Bhakti has a big explanation to that. Bhakti is like that. So bhakti, what happens at that time? Who gets pleased with that bhakti? Aham swadha. Krishna is saying here, aham kradu, aham yajna, swadha aham. Aham swadha. Krishna is saying there. Aham swadha. Because as andaryami, inside everyone, that Krishna gets pleased when he sees your gratitude. Krishna, that is bhakti. When you show that gratitude, Krishna gets pleased. Andaryami gets pleased. And Krishna says that in the Shraddha ceremony, oh, my father has done this to me. I couldn't do anything for him in return. So even for that, once that thought comes inside, at least for that moment, our false ego surrenders. Isn't it? It's a kind of surrender that is. When father has done a lot to you, or mother has done a lot to you, and you were not able to pay it back, but if a thought develops inside that I owe this to my father or mother, whatever thoughts that comes in, immediately at that moment, for a moment, at least our ego goes away and it develops into bhakti. Otherwise, normally we are always in an intoxicated state. I am this, I am that, isn't it? But it is a kind of surrender that happens there, and that is what Krishna is saying here. Swadha aham. Swadha means this. That aham, that swadha. Krishna says here that, so we should not do these things, because quite often what you find is there will be a fight in Banaras first with the priest. Then when you go to Gaya, there is another fight. By the time the two fights are over, you had enough of your Shraddham. Then you want to leave the place as quickly as possible. So, but without getting into argument and fights with them, with this understanding that I am performing this as a memory of the gratitude for what that Andaryami in father's body has done to me, and in that way, if it is executed, it will have some benefit from that. Otherwise, in some other form, it has to be done. So that bhavana, bhavam inside, and if the bhavam is not right, you should not perform any kind of vaidya karma. That's very important. Sometimes we go there, and then you see the priest is doing everything like this. He gives you a bill, his bill. When you look at the bill, and you start shocked, you're ready for a fight with him. He starts saying, why are you charging me so much? You've taken only 10 minutes and you are charging me 500 rupees or 1000 rupees for this. Then he says, no, that's my minimum rate, he says. And then the argument starts, picks up that. That means the bhavam has gone. That shouldn't happen. That's the main principle in this ceremony. Mantram is not important. The bhavam is important. It is not by his karma anything is going to happen. It's by the bhavam inside that you will have that benefit. That bhakti, gratitude towards father, mother, whoever has done whatever they have done to you. But all this is only in the householder life. As soon as you moved out of this, you have come to the platform of the soul in the realized state, no necessity for anything because you are on a higher state at that time. That is the difference there. So always in all these things you can notice one thing. The center is here, Antaryami. Antaryami is the center. It is centered around Antaryami, all these activities are happening. Which one? The Shraddha ceremony, the Yagam sacrifices Kratu, or Yajnam sacrifices mentioned. In everything, Krishna is saying, the center is Antaryami inside. Aham, aham, aham. That is why I kept on repeating there. Aham Kratu, aham Yajnam, Swathaham, aham Aushadham, Mandroham, aham Eva Ijyam, aham Agni, aham Hutam. Everything is aham, aham, aham. That Antaryami inside is the focus. It is. If you realize Antaryami inside, then you don't need to do any of these things, even if you are a householder. If you have realized the Antaryami inside, no obligations to anyone at any time. So, that is that Aham Kratu, Aham Yajna Sathaham. Then, next one, Aham Aushadham. Krishna is saying, I am the medicine. Isn't it? Krishna is saying, I am the medicine. What does it mean? Krishna says, I am the medicine. I am the medicine. Here, if when you take a medicine, when you take any medicine, when if that medicine has to be effective, who makes the decision? It's Antaryami who makes the decision. We won't know that. Today we are so gross now. When I say these things, people will ask this question. Does NHS know all these things? Is NHS working on this principle? That will be the question, isn't it? But that is a very gross understanding. We can't do anything about it. Krishna is saying to us, Mandraham aham aushadham. I am the medicine, he is saying here. Because the medicine goes inside and it works, isn't it? And it works, medicine works. So, when you are taking a medicine, normally there is a mantra to be chanted that I am taking this medicine and when it goes inside, let this Antaryami who is inside must do the work based on the medicine. And while taking the medicine, you are saying to the medicine that you are Krishna. You are Krishna. So, so that Antaryami's potency is in the form of this medicine. In the form of this medicine. And that medicine, the main medicine is Antaryami, not the medicine what we take. Main medicine is Antaryami. Because if you look into famous Ayurvedic Granthas, Ayurvedic books like Charaka's Charaka Samhita and Vagbhada's Ashtanga Hridayam, they are two famous books on the Ayurveda. Charaka Samhita says like this, that they have certain verses mentions there, Achyudananda Govinda Namo Charana Bheshajat Nashyandi na Nashyandi na Kala Yogaha Satyam Satyam Vadamyaham. The verse in the Charaka Samhita says, that addressing the medicine, Achyudananda Govinda Govinda Madhava, that Namo Charana Bheshajad, while chanting the names of Krishna and taking these medicines, Sakala Rogaha, all diseases within me, Satyam Satyam Vadamyaham, I will get released. How to explain this is this way, that strictly from the Vedic concept, which is the proper understanding also, if necessary, Krishna can manifest in a stone. Is it not? We are worshipping the deity. What principle is that behind that? Krishna can come, if he wants to come, through that stone also. Isn't it? Based on the same principle, great Ayurvedic physicians in the past, not now, in the past, when they were very devoted to the Ayurveda, they never had much medicines. You know that? They didn't have much medicines. When they come to treat the patient, they will come and they will tell them to bring some water. And keeping the water in the hand, with this chanting the mantra in this way, they used to sprinkle the water on the patient used to get cured. Do you think that they had these hundreds and thousands of medicines what we have today existed then? No, they didn't. Many other medicines came about later. But because these Ayurvedic physicians in that time, they were like sages. Very strong upasana of the Dhanvantari deity. And their sankalpam was so powerful that very powerful diseases they could cure by sprinkling a small quantity of water. Uddharani, they call it, they take water in the hand, chant the mantra and sprinkle on the patient, and he got cured. So, but in order that to happen, he has to have that kind of vishwasam, shraddha in him. He has to have that, otherwise it won't work. So, and in order to have that shraddha, he needs that kind of tapas, austerity in him. They were not ordinary people. They were like the rishis, like the sages they were. They had such austerities and penances. They didn't require much of a medicine to cure the illness. Simply through the mantra and the water, they could cure the illnesses. But what has happened now? Now because there is nobody like that who has that capacity to do that. And we have also found this allopathy medicines are the best to take, isn't it? Everything is sweet. And open the packet and throw a few into the mouth. It's not very, very difficult. So that is not what Krishna is saying here, aham aushadham. When you are taking paracetamol, saying Krishna is taking, I am taking Krishna inside. That's not what it meant. What Krishna is saying here is that when the great personalities, when they wanted to cure the illnesses, even through very simple things like water, they could cure your illness. Why? Where? When the faith and the upasana and the shraddha and the tapas of that person was so good. Therefore Krishna is saying, mantra aham aham aushadham, I am the medicine. I am the one who is actually curing. Not the medicine what you are giving there at that time. So therefore, aham aushadham, I am the, Krishna is the medicines. So in other words, Andaryami is the medicine, not anything else. Sometimes you can see, some medicine works for someone. Same medicine don't work for somebody. Is it not? Quite often it happens. That it works for somebody, some others it doesn't work. So there are various reasons, subtle reasons behind it. Sometimes you can see people goes to one doctor and some doctors they say it will not work out. It will not come out very well. And similarly patients also. Sometimes some doctors, even if they may not be very qualified, but their very mood is so good that it works with the patients. With the patients it works. So therefore, and whereas some doctors, they are always in a very fiery mood. And that also has its impact on the patient. There's also its impact on the patients. So now, little by little, allopathy is also started recognizing that it's not only the medicine that is curing the patient. They've also started looking into this, the relationship between the doctor and the patients. That's why these new subjects have started coming, like clinical psychology, they call it. Clinical psychology, a new type of subjects they are also developing now, and they are trying to understand that there is more to it than the medicine in curing the illness. So main thing from the Vedic point of view, the Ayurvedic, the physician who is treating the doctor, he should be, if possible, a realized soul. If not, at least very close to it. And then the treatment will be very effective. Very strong upasana, very strong sadhana, very good shraddha, all these are important factors in treatment. And that is what he is saying here, that he sound, the healing power, the faith, all these things matters. So, and in the past, many diseases were not given any names. Have you noticed that? They were not given any particular name. Why? The reason is this. They know the imbalance is not due to the body inside. The body is not the reason behind it. That upset, whatever that is upset inside, that can be corrected through Andaryami. Their focus was on Antaryami, not on the disease. Nowadays, what do? As soon as we get someone sick, immediately we started the diagnosis, isn't it? And we have to get a name for the disease first. Anything, we may not understand what it means, but there should be a name so that we can tell others we have got this Alzheimer or dementia or whatever. Sometimes they may not have the disease, who knows? Somebody has told us, doctor says, oh, he's got dementia. He's got dementia. Now we get the books, we start reading everything and studying and treating, you have to treat it like that. But sometimes you will also experience, if you have with old people, you will notice, have they really got all these problems, what I am thinking that they have got? From the book I have got, from the internet I have got so many things mentioned that they have got all these problems. Problem is something different. I have put a name. As soon as you put a name, then what happens? The leaflet comes in the post saying that this is the nature of that disease, and you start comparing, all this matches very well. So we concluded that he has got that disease. And there are so many diseases like this in the modern world. In the past, in the Ayurvedic philosophy is not to give a name to the disease. Because as soon as you give the name to the disease, so you have already sown the seed of the disease in the heart of the patient. The patient is stuck in that. Oh, he will also start. You're telling him, you got this and this disease. Oh, he started, I got that. He hasn't got it, but we have put it into him that you have got it. That is how its whole thing starts. This is the modern approach. But in the olden days, this approach was in there. You don't tell the patient that you have got this disease. There is some problem with you, but that can be corrected through the Antaryami principle. That is what they followed at that time. And there are many instances, if you read some of their memories of the famous Ayurvedic physicians, you will see cases where big, big doctors, they couldn't cure, that they had gone to them and very simple ways they have managed to release them from their illnesses. That is a lot of history behind it. You can read all that in different histories of the doctors. So here, so there you can see Vedantam, one who has studied Krishna consciousness philosophy, what it is saying to us is, we are perfect all the time. Purnam. Purnatvam is our nature. That is why Ishopanishad says to us, you are Purnam. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnan, Purnam Udachyade, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vashishyate. Isn't it? So, as long as the Vedantam is telling us this point, to take note of these things, by nature, we are perfect. Perfect in what? As identification with the soul, we are not imperfect in any way. We are totally perfect. Isn't it? But if you keep it that principle inside strongly, then many people, many physicians said to them that you don't have any disease. And disease, if you feel anything, it will go. That is the approach they have taken. That's the approach they have taken. And if a capable doctor, say, who has got that strength in him, if he says that from his heart, even very powerful illnesses can leave a person. Powerful illnesses can leave a person. Because the Shraddha or the faith inside that physicians, it can do wonders. It can do wonders and it can change anything. How does it do that? Try to understand this principle, how it works. You see, if you look into Bhagavatam, and even if you look into the birth of children through the modern science, how were we born first? The first thing is that a cell developed, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you will know, in the third canto, it explains that. And the cell starts multiplying. From the one cell, many other cells. That is what we call as the growth of the body. Is it not? From one cell, it keeps on multiplying and the body is growing. This is the growth, what we call it. And as we are growing, the older cells are dying and new cells are building up. That is what is change of body means. Because we haven't thought about these things seriously, we think that I am not changing. But I am changing. Body is changing. And all these illnesses in relationship with the body and the mind. With the body and the mind. So, they have also understood that Cell has this capacity to recreate. It recreates, isn't it? The cell has the capacity. And you know that scientifically it is possible. They have done through experiments, they have found this out. But practically we are finding that difficult to do that. But they have come to understand that cell has the capacity to recreate. So from one cell, this body has come. This body, what we have now, what we identify as we, is come from one cell. Because that's from one cell it has come. So if you know how to create that first cell from where this body has come about, but we are unable to do that, that is our problem. The first cell from where this body has come about, if you are able to create that first cell again, then this developed body which is giving this trouble, it can be changed because you know how to develop another body based on that cell again. But original cell which carried the soul with it, where the presence was there, because the soul is absent, so the recreation of that cell has become also difficult. So, aushadam, Krishna is saying here, if it works, aushadam janavi toyam vaidyo narayano hari. So that Shraddha and Vishwasam, Krishna is saying here, that if that faith, everything is there, medicine is not important. Medicine is not important. That as soon as you take the medicine, with full understanding that medicine is also Krishna, Krishna says it will have its effect. It will have its effect. Obviously, when Krishna spoke these things, it was not the modern medicine that existed at that time. We are doing in a very gross level now. Sometimes we get cured, sometimes we put the patient in the wheelchair and says, this is it, we can't do anything about it. Isn't it? So naturally, from a spiritual point of view, when Krishna is talking about it, we have to understand it that aham kradu aham yajnam, sodhaham aham aushadham. Medicine is me, Krishna is saying. As long as the patient and the doctor have full faith in all the Shastram and they are following that lifestyle, this kind of things will work. Medicine is not important anymore. Anything that is taken for cure is based on that faith, Shraddha, and the Vishwasam of the patient and the doctor. Patient and the doctor. It is only in that background these things will be effective. But nowadays, because we don't have any belief in all these things, we believe in another system altogether which is different, totally different. So you can see that there is more illnesses also, there is more diseases, and there is more research, and there is more. We think that research, medicine and all is the most important thing. Bhagavad Gita and Krishna doesn't agree with that. Krishna is saying if there is a problem, because there is lack of Shraddha in the Antaryami. Antaryami is the one who is creating all these diseases inside us. Where else is the disease coming from? Antaryami is behind it. You can see this also, that we don't take notice of Antaryami. We take notice of the body, is it not? We think we are this body. How much do we know about this body? I'll ask you one question. Suppose somebody has done an operation on me. He has taken out my kidney, liver, everything and put it here on the table. And he has taken out a few of you also, yours, kidney, liver, everything and put it here. And I have called in and asked me to pick up my kidney and liver. Will I know which one is mine? This is how much I know about myself. This is the proof. That we think we know everything, isn't it? We think that I know my kidney is there. I don't know what is doing there. People are telling me, science is telling me, kidney is doing this, kidney is doing that, there is something wrong with the kidney or the liver or the intestine or whatever it is. Suppose everything is taken out and put it here on the table, and yours also taken out and put it there, and somebody says to me, no, you take your kidney and your intestine from there. I won't be able to do it, will I? Because I have no connection with it. This is the point Krishna is saying here. That we have become so much in the identification with the body, we can't even understand very basic things about the body. We are thinking we are this body. We are thinking this is my body, my mind, my intelligence, my ego, my kidney, my liver, my this, my that. What is mine here? As soon as the body, material nature takes the body away from you, how much connection have you got with the body? Whereas all our connection is with the Antaryami inside. Is it not? Because that is where I come from. Antaryami awarenesses come from him, not from the body. What I have done is, that awareness that has come from the Antaryami, instead of knowing that, I have taken that awareness and put it on the body. And that is what is called Maya. That's what is called Maya. The awareness that is coming from Antaryami, I have taken that and put it on the body out of ignorance. That is called avidya, which is a product of Maya. This is what Shastram is trying to change. This is why we study Shastram, to understand it. That this is not the truth. What we have been told by the science and all other medical systems, all they are telling us is false things, that they are identifying us with the body all the time. So Krishna is saying here, aham kratu, aham yajna, sodaham, aham aushadam, mandroham, aham eva, ajim, and aham agni, aham hutam. Everything is me, Krishna is saying. So once you break your connection with Antaryami inside, then automatically you fall into this trap of the body. And then you start identifying with your body, your mind, your intelligence, your ego, and then you have to suffer through the consequences of that. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. So here we have seen that in this chapter, we have seen before, Satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dradavrata namasyandascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. That is how this started, this particular topic. So there we have looked, that is the verse number 15, I think it is the 14th verse, isn't it? That's where it begins. So there Krishna says nitya yuktaha. Nitya yukta means not even for a moment one who does not forget his swarupam, his spiritual identity. That is what nitya yukta means. You remember? We discussed that. What does Nitya Yukta mean? Nitya Yukta means one who is completely fixed in the soul, in the platform of the soul. So, in the Bhakti language, they are called Bhagavadas. Bhagavadas, pure devotees, in other words, in the Bhakti language. In the Jnani language, they are called Jivan Muktas, liberated souls. In reality, in essence, it's one and the same thing. Through bhakti process, you call them as Bhagavadas. Bhagavadas means pure devotees. And in the Jnana Margam, or the process of knowledge, you call them as Jivan Muktas, or liberated souls. So full time, they are fixed in that state of Nitya Yukta state. So they are engaged in glorifying Krishna, Kirtanam, Japam, Dhyanam, meditation. So, in various ways, they are absorbed in that, and that is what satatam, Krishna says, satatam, all the time. Evam, and this is the same thing, if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see in the 11th canto, when Krishna says here, Kavi Maharshi says there, in the 11th canto, in the second chapter, he says there, that is the second chapter, verse 40. Evam vrata. So priyanama kirtya jada nurago drutachitta muchaihi hasatyado raudidi gayan unmadavan nrtyadi logabahyam evam vrata. So priyanama kirtya jada nurago drutachitta muchaihi hasatyado raudidi gayan unmadavan nrtyadi logabahyam. This is Kavi Maharshi's words in the Bhagavadam. So evam vrata so priyanama kritya, that vratam, what they say is there, that is what Krishna is saying here, satatam. Krishna uses the word satatam. There, Kavi Maharshi uses the word vratam. Vratam is this satatam. Satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dridavratam, that vratam. That vratam is the same thing Kavi Maharshi says here, evam vrata so priyanama kritya jadanurago druta chittam uchaihi. The state of that person. Krishna mentioned satatam kirtayandomam yadandascha dridavrata namasyandascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasade. The same state of consciousness of that person in the Bhagavadam, Kavi Maharshi is saying here in the Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, with Nimi and Navayogi talking to each other. So, Yadandascha Dadavrata. Yatandascha means Indriya Nigraham. Indriya Nigraham means control of the senses. Shamam, Damam, Uparati. These are all part of that. Uparati, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. So, all this is, what they do, they make you favorable for engaging in analysis of the soul, in self-reflection, in reflection of the self-inquiry. It qualifies a person for self-inquiry. So, a person who is endeavoring in that direction, Jnana Margam is for them who have that, these qualities, Shamam, Damam, Titiksha, Uparati, Shraddha, Samadhanam. This is their qualifications for Jnana Margam. So, in other words, that one who is cultivating these sadhana and living a life in this world, which means that he is always controlled, very well controlled, and without allowing the false ego to develop inside at any moment, and completely surrendered in Sharanagati state, Atmanivedanam, and such a person, Krishna is saying here, when there will be Nitya Yukta. That is the nature of Nitya Yukta. Nitya Yukta means that without allowing the false ego to develop any moment, any time. That means they are so fixed inside, the going towards inside, towards the soul, that self-inquiry has gone very well, that they are able to, what we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, is not to stay in the mind and the brain. It has to get translated into consciousness. Only if it is in the consciousness, it will be of any help to us at the time of death. Otherwise it will not. That is why Krishna is saying here also that Nitya Yukta persons, what is their nature? Whatever they have got from the Shastram, constantly they are shifting it to the consciousness, moving into the consciousness from mind and the brain. And that will only happen when there is very good self-inquiry in a very deep level. There is a lot of things to be done about it. That's why if you look into Jnana Grandhams like Panchadashi, Viveka Chudamani and all, they give you so much importance to self-inquiry. It is not a subject for learning for an hour or two, but it is for total absorption in that all the time. So that is why Krishna mentions here that if you are engaged in self-inquiry, under no circumstances this false ego will come up any moment. Normally we are always in the false ego platform, isn't it? Jiva platform, in other words, I am this, I am that, identification with this or that, and all the time absorbed in planning many things based on the body and the mind. That is aham kriti. When one starts self-inquiry, because there is surrender inside, Sharanagati and Atmanivedanam, surrender inside, normally, one who is deeply absorbed in self-inquiry, he will not allow for the false ego to take birth for a moment. Every time when false ego comes up, he asks who is having that, and it goes back and dissolves itself inside there. So in other words, as much as this aham kriti comes up in a person, once the aham kriti comes up, you are separated from the source. The source is aham bodham. Aham bodham is the source, awareness. As soon as aham kriti, ahangaram comes up, you are separated from the source. You are separated from the source. That's what is happening inside, isn't it? So, as soon as you are separated from inside, aham kriti, if when you are able to take it back into its source where it came from, that is when it goes and dissolves there, the pure chaitanyam, chit shakti comes out, and aham bodham comes out practically in its pure form, in its current form. So that awareness at that time, what they call it as sahaja yogam. Some people use the word also, sahaja yogam. Sahaja yogam. So what you achieve through meditation is yogam. Yogam is yogam. But normally, When you achieve this through vijaram, through thought process, it's called bodham. It's called bodham. There are two different things. What you experience through yoga process, through meditation and all that, it is called yogam. But what you experience through vijaram or self-inquiry,
It is called bodham. It is called bodham. So there is a difference here. Yogi's state is always yogam and jnani's state is bodham. There is a big difference between the two. So, in the yogis' cases, what happens is, when they have through meditation process or any other spiritual processes, when they reach that state, they can stay in that state for some time, but they have to come back into the original state. But jnanis, through their power of inquiry, they will reach that state at a particular time from which they will not come back again. That is why he mentions here that that state, their knowledge is such that mind and the body and the intelligence has no role in that. This is the Jnanamargam. In Jnanamargam, mind, intelligence and body has no role to play. It is completely dependent on your awareness or consciousness. So that is why in Jnanamargam, everything is centered around consciousness. In Yoga Margam, what they do, through their mind, they focus and bring in concentration, isn't it? Ekagrata, they call it. So, whereas in the Jnana Margam, they have come to this state that without being dependent on the mind, intelligence or the false ego, totally dependent on that awareness inside. So, whatever they are experiencing at that point, that what they call it as pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is the word used in the Bhagavadam. In other words, when that awareness becomes very strong, what does it mean? It means that they have started the recognition of the self inside. When now what do we have? Recognition of the body and the mind. That's what we have got at the moment, isn't it? We are recognizing all the time in terms of the body and the mind. But when through self-inquiry we become conscious of the recognition of the soul, which is known as the self-inquiry, that recognition of the self, that will come powerfully at one stage. That recognition of the body goes away. Whether it is vacant state, dream state, or the deep sleep, you will not lose it. In the body, all the changes will happen. What are they? Boyhood, childhood, youth, old age, diseases, death. All these things will happen in the body. But even while all these things are happening, for a jnani, even at that point, in his awareness, nothing is happening. This is that state. In the jnani's case, that is what happens. That whether it is a jagrat svapnam sushupti or whether it is changes in the body, that is what is happening. None of them will have any impact in his awareness. That means everything what is happening in the awareness or consciousness will stay. Anything that is happening in the mind and the body will go. It won't stay. That is why spiritual life, self-realization, everything must be centered around consciousness, not centered around the mind or the body. And that is where our greatest difficulty also. We hear Bhagavad Gita a lot. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam a lot. And we study it like textbook, like chemistry and physics. And then we are asked some questions and answers. That's it, finished. Our realization is over with that. Nothing more. Not an inch we have moved in the right direction. When do we move? When all these things in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if this goes into consciousness, then it will have its effect. Otherwise not. That is why I am saying, you can see even big so-called elevated personalities in Krishna consciousness, they are also running courses and seminars without giving any importance that how important it is that it has to go into the consciousness, not to the mind, not to the brain. And people are still busy with the mind and the brain. Studying Bhagavatam with the mind and the brain, they won't get anywhere. Mind and the brain is all useless. Even if you have taken it on the mind and the brain, as soon as possible,
we should try to move that into the consciousness that is left to the individual. That is completely to the individual. Nobody else can do that for you. You have to do it. All you are receiving from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that understanding has to go into consciousness. Otherwise, all this is a waste of time. Waste of time. There is nothing will gain from this. It may remain in the mind, it may remain in the brain for some time, but beyond that, it will have no effect at all. That has to be spoken very clearly, because that is where we fail mostly. We are hearing, so many years we are hearing, but when as soon as a crisis comes in life, immediately we are gone. Vyavaharam completely throws us out of balance. We can't do anything after that. What has happened then? Why is it happening? Because this is the reason that all through our spiritual life, we have continuously used the mind and the brain to become spiritual, which didn't help. Mind and brain cannot make you spiritual because they are not a part of the, they are asat, they are, as Krishna calls it as. Whereas the sat that is inside all of us, the awareness, the bodham is what matters. And that is where all these things has to happen, because that is what spiritual life is all about. And if this one point is not clear, that is why 40, 50 years after chanting Hare Krishna, people are asking this question, where are we now? What has happened? 40 years they have been chanting, so much service they have done, so much money fund they have raised, and so much books they have distributed, so much they have done. But after 40, 50 years they are still asking the same question, what has happened now? What's going to happen to me? Then somebody comes and tells you, after death you will go back to the spiritual world, everything is alright, you have done well. When we are also happy with that answer, aren't we? What is the meaning of all this? If it is, Krishna is not saying that in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha, right now, here, Iha Esha, Krishna says, Iham, here it has to happen. This Jida Sarga, if you look into this, that verse, you have a look at it, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So, Krishna's words is very straightforward. Krishna is saying to us, let's look at that verse. It's so important that why Krishna gives importance to now, right now, here. Iha? Iha, just a minute, what's the number? 2.72? No. 519. Look at 519. What does Krishna say is there? Ihaiva tair jita sargaha. 519. Ihaiva tair jita sargo. Esha samyestidam manaha. Nirdosham hi samam brahma. Tasmad brahmanide sthitaha. Ihaiva tair jita sargo. Esham samyestidam manaha. Nirdosham hi samam brahma, tasmad brahmanide sthitaha. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. This is that state. If this hasn't happened, all other things you can forget it. You can say, for if you feel happy with that, it's fine. That somebody said to you, I gone back home, you'll be going back home. Somebody gives you in writing, fine, you can take it, frame it and keep it. But if this is that verse, it must happen here now. Sargo, in this life. Look at that word, iha, in this life. It has to happen. Sargo, esham samyasthidam manaha. Nirdosham hi samam brahma, tasmat brahmanide sthidaha. That is the answer to that question. So, here, so you have, actually, there is, that stage has to happen here. If we don't move our understanding, what we got through mind and brain, if you don't shift it to the consciousness or awareness, all this is a waste of time. It is not going to happen here. Happening here, when Krishna says, Ihaivadair Jita Sargo, means, right now, all this what we are getting, hearing from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that realization
should move to the consciousness, to the awareness, then it will have its effect. Otherwise, not. Now we'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.